good day? Is this going to be a good day? No, I don't think so.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show. Let's go say what they wish. Where else would you rather be? It's right here, right now.
All right, it's all downhill from here because I get to crack the microphone and say, ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field, stadium announcer, Phyllis Waddle, Robert Jonathan Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Hello, Robbie.
You know, Phil actually left a message for you guys.
Really? What was that?
She's crying.
About what?
Well, suffice it to say, that wasn't toilet paper yesterday.
Oh, my. It was Phil Hochberg.
Oh, yeah, the mighty TH. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Leisure Camp and all the ships at sea. Hey, they are more efficient than their underweight sisters. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. It is
Wednesday,
June 14, year 2000, new episode, same phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Right, 877-365-3636. Get to your calls momentarily. Please don't call for the Tom Gavin Survivor Challenge now. We're going to do that later in today's program.
That's coming up, and yesterday we got some fine contestants. We're going to get some fine contestants again.
Yeah, we're going to fill out our camp later in today's show, but I think we took most of the calls, the bulk of the calls from people who wanted to survive an entire show with Gavin the Monster at this time yesterday, so we will do it at another time today.
That's great.
So as not to inconvenience those of you listening to the show today who were listening to the show at the same time yesterday.
That's very thoughtful of ye.
Let's start today's show with a big thank you to the people of Bakersfield, California.
Bakersfield.
Where they have now made this show. Number one Arbitron rated.
Great.
All right. Yeah. All right,
Los Angeles.
Yeah, we're ready. Right.
We've conquered Bakersfield.
Keep waiting, Mike.
Hey, if it was good enough for Buck Owens, it's good enough for us.
Well, that's right. The good people of Bakersfield have rewarded this show on KGEO, a real, real broke dick radio station. They have rewarded us with a 9.8 share.
Ooh. So we're not just being enjoyed by the artichokes out there.
All right, so thank you. That's great news.
That's Bakersfield. I think that's what they make out there.
Great news in the winter Arbitron ratings, KGEO in Bakersfield, California. Thank you very much.
Always very gratifying when this show succeeds out on the West Coast. We are psyched about Sacramento, and we're very happy about Bakersfield.
Now, before we get to today's radio drama, and there's, of course, an exciting new installment of As the World Ahearns that we have ready for you.
I'm very excited about that.
Maybe a couple of telephone calls, okay? Just a couple. Let's just see who's on the telephone. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, I got a suggestion for you.
Love suggestions.
Why don't you tell your new traffic reporter to change his name to Rich so he quits too?
Pardon me?
Why don't you tell your new traffic reporter to change his name to Rich instead of Hunter, so he quits like your last traffic reporter.
Oh, are you the guy that called last week about that?
No, that's not me.
First off, this is something, you're talking about on JFK, the guy who reads the traffic on JFK?
Yeah.
That is a very, very obscure little factoid that you're paying attention to there.
And, or, you know, what he can change his first name to Dick, so he's Dick Hunter.
And what does that have to do with...
I think there was a guy last week.
I know who said that Jason Feces quit because we made him use the name Jason Feces, but we proved that was not the case.
We actually called.
He lied. He was just kissing your butt like everybody else does.
Come on, please.
Shut up. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi, my friend.
Hey, I was just wondering if Ahearn had anything to say about As the Ahearn Turns.
Frank Ahearn's from the Post? Absolutely not.
No, that would require testicles.
Oh, come on. You know he's not going to say anything.
No. What do you think he's going to say?
I was hoping he was going to bash y'all or something so that you could turn around and bash him back.
No, he doesn't have the balls to write about this in the newspaper.
Oh, there's no way he'd write about this.
No.
It's too good. It's too funny. It's too pure.
Especially it really is good. I hope y'all continue it.
Well, just wait till today's episode. I think you'll appreciate the radio drama in today's episode.
Excellent.
You know,
thank you. Bye-bye. It would show a bit of professionalism if he was to write a column to say, you know what, I wrote a column in the Washington Post saying that there should be radio drama. Well, Don and Mike took that idea, and boy, have they turned the tables on me and turned it into a real funny bit.
Well, a real man would do that, but he won't do that.
Never happened.
A smarmy little guy that ran for, you know, student body president with a Domino's pizza box, which I still remember that call from yesterday. Dan, thank you, sir, for that call.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, got a quick poem I wrote for you guys about Mr. Ahern.
Sure, go ahead. Love to hear it.
All right. My name is Mr. Aherns. I enter through a hole. I play around most of the time. The gerbil's in my butthole. I know that I sit around and complain about all skits. I'm still mad that at age 18, my mom weaned me off her. I'm sorry now I must go. I lost a rat in my pelvis. Besides, I have a scat date later. Just me and Boardwalk Elvis.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Well, Mike, it seems that everybody is really... hepped up on goofballs, waiting for the episode of today's radio drama.
So, why don't we?
Why don't we just get to that right now?
Very good.
I do have a script for you, Mike.
Thank you,
Robbie. Here's yours. Did I give you two? Yeah, run that over to Buzz.
Right.
And I think everybody will be pleased to know that Charles Broyhill, Mike, please don't read ahead.
I have to do a little prep.
It's best if it's just a dry read.
Very good.
The role of Charles Broyhill as the editor for the Washington Star has been written out of the episode.
Ah, very good. Okay.
So Broyhill will not appear in today's episode so as not to have the anvil effect and drag us down. Buzz, right before we get into this, do you have that ridiculous list of the 100 movies by AFI?
I do indeed.
Great. Need it in a moment because I want to talk about that. I knew you would have it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Buzz. The very reliable Buzz. Okay. Are you ready, everybody, for today's episode? Let's cue our announcer.
It's time for yet another episode of As the World Aherns. When we last left them, the Aherns family was sitting down to a nutritious meal of grilled cheese and grape juice when our hero Frank received a mysterious call from the editor of his newspaper. Frank hangs up the phone, turns to his parents, and says,
"Oh, Joel, if that crusty old editor lets my secret out, my career as a pseudo-journalist will be over before it even gets started."
Francis, you have Velveeta all over your chin, dear.
Sorry, Father.
Son, which of your many dark secrets did he find out about, boy? Did he find out about your fascination with human excrement on that scatlover.com website you're always on?
No, Father. That's no secret. My intense love of BMs is common knowledge in many communities.
Francis, dear, you seem to be sitting in a puddle of grape juice.
Sorry, Mother.
Well, damn it all, what secret did he find out about, boy? Tell me, you worthless pansy.
Please don't yell at me, Father, sir. Don't make me cry again.
Tell me now or I will take away your needlepoint privileges.
Okay, Father. Anything but that. Do you remember when I applied to that computer dating service?
Yes, Francis, we remember.
Well, I got a reply, and my editor opened it, and, well, now he knows the truth.
So tell us already.
He knows I've never been on a date. On a date with a girl, that is.
Well, Father, that's really no surprise, considering...
Considering what? Something I should know?
Yes, son, there is. Now that you're in your 30s, you should be told. Frank?
Yes, Father, sir?
Frank, you're not like the other boys.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Mother, please! Frank!
Mother, please.
Oh, sorry,
Frank.
I read your line, Daddy.
Mother, please. Frank, everybody. I'm going to tell him the truth.
Good.
Frank, the truth is, you, Frank Aherns, have no genitals whatsoever.
But, Father, I look normal from the waist down, just like all the Ken dolls that I enjoy collecting.
Francis, honey, those dolls are not anatomically correct.
She's right, son. You might have realized you were different by now, except for the fact that you've never been in any kind of a locker room, because you neither understand nor enjoy sports of any kind.
That's true. I just love spending time alone in my creepy, dark basement room.
And, Frank, you never encountered a public shower due to your extreme phobia and intense hatred of personal hygiene. Wayne.
Right again, mother dear. Well, I guess that explains having no sex drive towards the female sex.
Not to mention the fact that you are the biggest pussy anyone's ever met.
You have no balls in any sense of the word.
Yes, Father. I guess I'll resign myself to being a disgrace to the family. The family name of Ahearns, if such a thing is possible.
Only if your secret gets out, son.
Your father's right, Francis. Everyone that's ever met you may hate you, but that's not because you have no genitals whatsoever.
Right, Bob. They hate me because I'm a complete asswipe.
Right you are, my worthless eunuch offspring.
Don't think that crusty, hard-boiled editor's gonna let my secret out. The word at the newspaper is that he's going to be replaced anyway.
Why is that, dear?
Because it turns out he can't read!
Well, son, don't worry. We'll look to get you an implant that'll make you feel better.
You mean a prosthetic vagina?
Son, if it's not a penis, it's not a deal.
Oh, gee whiz. Dad.
I tell you what, let's change the subject.
Oh, yes, let's do.
Say, did you hear that fabulous Don and Mike radio show today?
Oh, no, sir. I only like radio from the 1920s, and I like little boys.
What was that, son?
I said it sounds like a lot of noise, Mother. I mean, how many times can you hear them drooling over a naked girl or making fart jokes?
Well, Frank, as for myself and every other red-blooded American male, we love the Don and Mike show and never tire of it.
Well, I don't care what everyone thinks. I'm the radio critic, and I know what's best. NPR rocks my world.
Just then, someone at the door.
Who is that? We're not expecting anyone.
Well, actually, Mother, that would be my friend, Sergio.
Oh, is that that nice, muscular young man who's always dressed in buttless leather chaps?
Yes, Mother.
You know, there's something queer about that young man, but I can't seem to put my finger on it.
Believe me, Father, he's as right as rain. We're going out dancing tonight at an exciting but dimly lit club near DuPont Circle in the District of Columbia.
That's nice, dear. Maybe you'll bring home a nice girl.
Don't count on it, Mother.
Join us next time when we hear Frank say...
Well, gee whiz, I haven't been in an emergency room since my incident with the bowling trophy and the Vaseline.
Only on As the World Ahearns.
Well, there you go, boy.
Excellent job.
There you go. Another
fantastic episode.
Sorry, I broiled your line earlier.
That's okay, no problem.
No problem. Another fantastic episode of the Dynamite Players of Radio Drama, as requested in Afternoon Drive by the radio critic from the Washington Post.
Marvelous. I enjoyed doing that.
Wait until tomorrow's episode.
Yes, it's a rapidly developing plot.
Yes. Yeah. Tomorrow, well, I don't want to give away the plot, but you know, they do a tease at the end of the soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, Frank goes to the doctor.
Oh, yes.
And we also hear about the emergency room incident.
Oh, my God.
All of that on tomorrow's episode of As the World Ahearns.
A real 1920s radio drama.
And, you know, just for him, we're doing it just as he requested. With the hokey organ music. And we try to work some jive sound effect in. Today it was the doorbell.
Excellent.
Tomorrow we're going to try to figure out some way to get, like, a horse, you know, the clomp, clomp, clomp of a horse coming through. And instead of using a sound effect record, we're actually going to have Rob stand there with empty coconut shells.
Yeah, just like they used to do it.
And have him beat him on a piece of wood.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Maybe at some point we can have a thunderstorm. And I just like the old radio drama.
Like so many possibilities.
Absolutely.
When you're dealing with live, spontaneous radio theater.
Probably be a thunderstorm when his father finally kicks him out of the house.
when anything can happen during live radio drama.
I love it.
You know, that's so good. We might have to repeat that later in today's show.
I agree.
Just to make sure that it gets back to him. I mean, I hate repeating stuff, but maybe we'll have an encore performance later in the show.
That'd be wonderful. You know, they used to do that in the old radio dramas.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, listen, Ron and Fez work for the same radio company, right?
As us, yes.
Ron said the T-word, Twister, last night.
Well, you know, welcome to the world of CBS, where there's an incredible double standard. There's what all of the other disc jockeys can do, and then there's what we can do.
Absolutely.
This is a battle that we fight every day. Thank you, though, for bringing it to our attention.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey. You guys, I'm beginning to think Ahern's right. I'm enjoying this soap opera stuff so much.
No, very good. That's good. Well, I think we're, you know, we're bringing it up into the 1990s for you. In the 2000, I should say.
All right, we're taking a time-tested radio treat, as he suggested in his column yesterday in the Post.
And we're modernizing it.
Yes, we are. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey,
what did you do, sir? What did you do?
I called up his...
Please, for the love of God, turn your radio down.
Okay. I called his voicemail, left it on his voicemail for you.
You called who, the radio critic for the Post?
Yeah, Ahern's.
You left him a message?
No, I let him listen to you guys. I left your message, your play on there for him.
He was on the line live?
No, he wasn't there.
Oh, I got what this guy said. What this guy's saying is he recorded our show yesterday with the radio drama.
No, I just did it now live.
Oh, I got you. So as we were doing it on the radio,
right.
You held the telephone to the radio and recorded it immediately on his voicemail.
Right, put it right on his voicemail.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Sure, have a good day.
Yeah, we're mobilizing the troops.
Excellent.
Mobilizing the Kiss Army.
That's terrific.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, guys.
Hi there.
Hi, I love you, but I know you hate it when other people talk about other radio stations, but it's not really.
Okay, let's stop and analyze this call, how many rules you've broken. Hi, Don and Mike, I love you, but...
Right.
Okay, right there.
That's bad.
That's a violation.
I know you hate when we talk about other radio stations,
but
so you know we hate it, but you're fully willing to do it anyway.
Well, it's more about Tom Gavin than the other radio station.
Well, listen, as we said before, if other disc jockeys want Tom Gavin, they can have Tom Gavin.
Well, they didn't want him. They wanted to meet you.
Who wanted to meet us?
Elliot in the morning from DC 101, okay. He wanted to meet you.
I want to tell you something about this guy. The reason we don't talk about this guy, even though he talks about us all the time, it's an old-time radio scam. When you're doing a radio show and you have no listeners, the easiest way to get listeners is to find the biggest show and talk about them incessantly. And
oh, yeah.
with the hope that some mindless twit like yourself will call us because we take live on-screen calls. See, that the whole thing baffles me. That this guy who's the morning disc jockey on 101 cannot get a ratings point to save his life. So what he's done is he's done something that, frankly, Mike and I did like 15 years ago when we were climbing the ladder.
We used to do it all the time.
You know, you talk about other disc jockeys to get them in some kind of a war, but the truth of the matter is that this guy's like a piece of BM that comes out of my butt. He's nothing. So it serves us no purpose to return the fire. Do you understand?
Yes.
And by simply calling us, I guess he's achieved what he wanted. Yes. And we've mentioned his name on the show. But again, I only say that to point out the difference between this show and other shows is that I think when you listen to that radio show or a vast majority of radio shows, the disc jockeys take calls that are screened, where they know what the person's going to talk about in advance, and they try to make it sound spontaneous, but really they know. The difference is, on this show...
We take well over 300 calls a day. We take them run right after the other, after the other, after the other.
Which is why, you know, listen, it pisses me off. The guy's nothing but a pale imitation of us.
The eagle does not hunt flies.
And he's got, you know, if he's got balls, let him think of his own stuff to do on his radio show.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm sorry.
And you, yeah, you sorry.
I'm sorry.
You very sorry.
Okay. No, you're not, are you?
Yeah, I am, because I just thought it gave him class that he was mentioning you guys.
No, it doesn't give him any class. How does he give him class?
Usually sometimes I hear, I'm not going to mention, they diss on you guys.
Well, other shows diss on all other shows. That's part of the business.
True.
Honey, but listen, the guys, generally the guys on top of the heap, only diss on the guys on the bottom of the heap that they truly dislike. Like, the reason we talk about Jack Diamond is...
Because we love to hate him so much.
We truly dislike Jack Diamond.
Right.
And it's just so much fun. It's such great recreation to bust on him.
Now, this guy that
you... I frankly bust on him most of the time. You take your kid to school, and you're a radio guy. You're hitting every button on the dial. I don't listen to Harvey. I just know Harvey because I worked with him, and I just love talking about him because it's just fun.
I listen to him, and I listen to that guy on 101. I listen to just about every radio station. I'm a radio guy. I listen to the radio. I hear that guy. I hear him doing a pale imitation of the show. You know, I hear him say something that he thinks is outrageous, then he stops and he plays two records and he comes back and he gives the weather and he gives the time. And listen, he can't blow enough and he just wants us to talk about him, which is why we're not going to do it. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
It's really not that tough. And I could certainly tell our listeners, well, you know what we should do? Call his show and mention our names on his air, but the difference is that he, like every other disc jockey in the world, doesn't take on-screen telephone calls.
Yeah, right. And it wouldn't do us any good to have our listeners do that because it wouldn't be heard by anybody.
Correct. Bingo.
Bottom line.
Bingo. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
And now for the morning headlines. Homosexual Joseph from the Don and Mike Show is found dead this morning. Reason? He was stabbed in the ass.
Oh, my. Now, come on. Please, play nice, kids. Please, everybody, play nice. Or else we're going to have Adult Swim.
Such violence early in the day.
No. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, I also like to say hi to Buzz.
Hi.
Buzz, a minute ago you said the eagle does not hunt flies.
Yes.
I think Homo Joe might disagree.
I don't understand.
Don't get that.
That's another non sequitur.
Hunting flies?
Oh, hunting flies. Like men's zippers. Flies,
okay.
Zippers.
Thank
yeah.
you,
oh,
my friend. Right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Super. Great effort.
Hello.
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 Yeah, what? Hi. Come on, what? What?
Nothing. I'm just calling to see if I can get through. My friend's in the other room, and I bet he doesn't believe that I got through.
How old are you?
18.
All right. Thank you, son. Right. Have a great time.
Have a great friggin' time.
Terrific. You know, we got to start screening the calls on this show.
Well, he doesn't have a lot to do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Listen, it's been driving me crazy. You know, you have this secret sound that's been going on for what now? 3 weeks? Something like that?
I don't know. Is that how long this one's lasted?
It's been forever.
Maybe 3 weeks, yeah.
And you have, I wonder how many people out there are like me who know the sound but can't be caller 100. It's got to be driving them crazy. It is so easy. You have given the best hints ever.
For anybody who really thinks they know it, you know where we're located at, Don and Mike CBS World Headquarters on Main Street in Toothless, Fairfax, Virginia. Mm-hmm. If you really think you know what it is, come down here to the studio, and we'll let you guess live on the air. If you're right, you get the money, and if you're not right, we shave your head.
I would do it if I lived any closer than I do, but I live all the way up in Northern Maryland, so...
Well, you know, Northern Maryland...
If I drove down there, somebody would guess it.
What? If it's been going on for 3 weeks, I'd say your odds are pretty good of making it here.
Yeah, unless you're in a horse...
It is so easy.
Unless you're in a horseless carriage, I imagine you could probably get in your car and be here in a couple of hours.
See, I know what you're doing, though. You are just chomping to give your guess right now, but we're not going to let you do that.
I know you're not. Believe me, I know you're not going to let me do it.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You know, and there's a lot of people out there who I'm sure feel the same as that guy, who think that they really have the right answer for the secret sound.
Well, I'm in the same boat that they are, but I don't think I know it. Right. That's the difference. I know I don't know it.
If you really think you know what it is, then come on down and get your head shaved.
Yeah, think back to the last time we did the contest, how many heads you shaved, and every one of those people was positive that they knew.
Right.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Hi, my name's Meg, and I'm from Vienna, and I'm at work, and we were talking with co-workers today, and we were thinking about what food group would eggs be in and why.
You were thinking about what, honey?
What food group eggs are in. We were talking about it at work, and we couldn't figure it out.
It's a protein.
Meat and protein.
Right, so would they be dairy or poultry?
What food group is what?
Eggs.
Eggs.
It would be
poultry.
It would be poultry.
Poultry?
It comes from birds. Comes from chickens.
Right. But isn't it in the dairy section?
No, dairy would be a milk product.
Right.
It's in the dairy
like
section.
Cheese or cream. Because it doesn't matter what section of the grocery store it's in.
Right. But you know, on the
what office is this that where you were having this incredibly riveting discussion?
Actually, it's an insurance company.
It's an insurance company. Well, see, it doesn't matter. You don't. It's not like you're solving the world's problems.
Because all you do every day at an insurance company is look at a stack of claims. You just stamp no on all of them.
Right. So we have.
And then you have time to ponder the deep thoughts in this world, like...
About eggs.
What are eggs?
Okay. I think anybody that's had come in contact with the insurance world... I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, people can do it... You can get, trained gerbils to do it.
They are not the brightest crayons in the Crayola 64 pack.
They make a ton of money that business, but, you know, it's pretty standard stuff.
But, you know, in the food pyramid... Under dairy, isn't that where the eggs are?
She's focused.
She is stuck on this.
Are you talking about a little like cartoon that you saw in a children's food book?
I have my health book in front of me and I actually looked it up.
Your health book?
Yeah, and you know the food pyramid. You know.
How do I get one of them health books?
All right, there's meats and poultry.
Uh-huh.
There's dairy.
Right.
There's grains and cereals.
Right.
There's vegetables.
Right.
How many is that?
And
four?
Fruits.
Fruits, that's five. Right, there's your five.
Sweets at the very top.
What?
And then there's sweets at the very top.
Sweets and fats,
you're sparing
and whole grains.
Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know that sweets counted as one of our five basic food groups.
Sweets and fats. Yeah. What they've actually done
I'm sweet.
And I'm fat.
Good morning, everybody.
Good to see you.
They've changed it actually from even when we were youngsters. It was four food groups. They've split up fruits and vegetables, and they've made it into a pyramid now. And this is like only in the past few years.
Really?
Who gives a frig?
That's what I pay my nutritionist for.
So, really?
Is egg... Egg is in meats and poultry,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
It's not dairy.
No.
Dairy is simply exactly what it says. No. Dairy is milk products,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and cheese is actually a protein, too, so cheese falls under meat.
But, well, cheese falls under meat.
Yeah. According to the food pyramid.
Brains, of course.
What about
Ted knows all this.
What about the $100,000 pyramid? That's a pyramid I am fully equipped to discuss on this show.
Yeah, but if we were discussing that, we'd have to have our wrists tied down.
And say, so long, everybody.
That's right.
All right, goodbye, you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Go reject some more claims.
Right. Somebody who's, like, dying and wants some extra medicine.
You knew she was trouble because she said she works for an insurance company.
Insurance. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got a... proposition for you.
Okay, what's that?
I know
that?
The secret sound.
I'm sure you do.
I'm sure I do. And I'm in California, so obviously I can't come down there and get my head shaved.
Right.
How about we set something up with KHTK?
Right.
I'll go down to their station and do it.
Right, that's a great idea. We'll rearrange our entire schedule and have...
No, just so you have a witness. I can put it live on the air real quick.
No.
Yeah, it's definitely too much trouble.
No, right. That was my whole point. No, sorry about that.
What can we here in California do?
Absolutely nothing.
You can be caller number 100.
I've been trying for weeks. I know
that. A lot of people have. A lot of people.
Or, get on a bus.
Did you see the... Toya asked me what I thought it was. Did you look at the card? Did she write it down?
No, we're not going to take your guess.
No, listen, Toya...
I'll say it. Don't worry.
Toya and Lisa are the last people in the world who know what the secret sound is.
No, she didn't confirm it.
And it wouldn't matter if you did.
Hey, sir. Ask her if I got it right.
It wouldn't matter if you did say. We have a delay.
No, I'm not going to. I know you'll just, beep it out.
You know, guys like this, I wish... I really
it's guys that don't want to wait in line. It's guys that don't want to play the game by the rules.
I really wish that you lived...
Five times a day for the last 3 weeks.
Okay, well, then here's what you do. Like I said, buy a bus pass. Greyhound will take you anywhere in the country for $89. Make a two-day bus trip. We'll see you Friday. Come on in.
It'll be guessed by then, especially with your clues. It's so obvious.
Right, well, it hasn't been guessed for the last 3 weeks. How long have you known it?
Probably only about a week and a half.
Well, and the odds are he doesn't know it, because as we said with the other people that have had their heads shaved, they come in here and they're positive they know it, and then they say, is it a staple gun?
Yeah. Is it a briefcase opening or closing?
You're probably right, because I hear those guys and think, they're idiots, so
you're
I end up getting my head shaved.
Listen, you're one of those guys.
That's the great thing about the contest.
I probably would end up getting my head shaved, so why don't you let me go down to KHTK here and try it?
That's the great thing about the contest. Everybody is sure they know, but no, that's simply too much trouble for us.
All right.
Thanks you.
Anyway, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Well, say what you will about this contest. People do go nuts about it.
They sure do.
I'm just like everybody else. I'm dying to know what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't have an idea. I don't have a clue.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, how are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Well, I've called with a complaint.
Thank you.
Oh, good.
Okay. you guys, we go to great effort here in Bakersfield to listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, and thank you for being number one.
Yeah, I was shocked and stunned, though, to listen to an utter insult roll from your lips.
What was which insult was that, sir?
We don't grow artichokes in Bakersfield.
That was me, sir. I said that. I thought you grew artichokes.
Okay, for the record, we need to qualify this. We grow cotton in Bakersfield.
There are no artichokes in Bakersfield at all.
No, that would be Monterey.
Monterey.
Okay. Yeah.
I am terribly sorry.
This is about
cotton.
This is about as fascinating as the woman who wanted to know if eggs were on the meat chart of the pyramid.
Rob, what food group is cotton in?
Well,
everyone.
Cotton,
it's in sweets. Candy.
Cotton candy.
Goodbye.
You're probably wearing something from Bakersfield as we speak.
I am wearing a cotton shirt. So, Don, are you wearing a cotton shirt?
The only thing I'm wearing from Bakersfield is a stain that your mom left.
Oh.
Hey,
on my underpants.
I know my mom. It was a big stain.
It was. It's gigantic. It's actually multicolored. It's kind of red and kind of orange with a little crimson in it.
Yes, the textures and colors of the stain are multifold.
Thank you.
Hey, and I know my mom wasn't cheap. I know she charged you at least $10.
Oh. Hey, kudos to
this. I give you credit.
And you're right. She did.
She did.
Adios. Hasta la bye-bye.
All right. See you.
Andy's
you
gone.
Know, I swear to God, I would not complain one iota if all of our idiot callers were like that guy.
Absolutely. Got against the joke.
That guy was okay. He really was. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hey, buddy.
I'm stuck down here in Louisiana, knee-deep in Bubba Teeth.
Right.
They moved me down here from Richmond. They can't be too bad. They got your show, so I'm able to catch it.
Thank you, my friend.
Listen, now, come over the ladies ever call and cook the soup anymore. They need to stir that soup up.
Ah, you're looking for a soup stirrer. You know, it's funny, when we get a call like this, usually on the same day, a woman will call and stir the soup.
Or a guy will call and pretend to be a girl.
Hello! I mean, it's not like y'all have that lady up in Vermont that was trying to get y'all off. That bitch is gone now.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye-bye. He said he was from Michigan and he was transferred down. He had that Louisiana sound.
Yes. Well, they all do, Mike.
Oh, Richmond.
Richmond. Okay. They all do as soon as they move down there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
I just wanted to let you know right now, your wife is giving me a head. Come on, Frida, don't stop. Don't stop. He's at work everywhere. Make sure he sleeps on this side of the beach sheets tonight, all right? Stop, girl. You're going to put me in an accident.
Wow. There's a listener doing his own radio play.
Oh, Jesus.
What's wrong with people?
At least he's doing it to somebody.
There you go.
Oh, I appreciate that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, can I speak with Rob, please?
With Rob Spiewak?
Yes, please.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Rob, although our conversation was short but brief the other week when you were taking phone calls, I do feel that our relationship has matured and grown, but I did forget to tell you one thing.
What?
Eat one!
That's not very nice. I don't like you. Don't hang up on me! I am Rob Bay!
Rob.
That's who I am. Rob Spiewak. You know who I am? I'm Rob.
Rob.
Try not to step on Rob again.
Rob.
Say it to me, baby.
Not homo, Rob.
Daddy.
Rob.
Rob. Me.
Daddy Rob.
Don't you dare hang up on me.
On me.
Rob.
Hello.
Hello. Not on my show.
Yeah, what is the website address?
The website for what?
For all the pictures.
Oh, it's www.xposed.com.
XPOSED.com.
And if you go there, you will be able to see Charlie Broyhill's birthday party, Frida getting the stripper on her birthday, and I know that the pictures of the third trimester bikini contest are also up.
Yes, they are.
Who's this?
Okay.
Oh,
listen, never mind. Just never mind. Goodbye. I'm the guy telling you the way it is.
There it is.
As John Travolta said in Get Shorty.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Enough of that for now.
Enough of that tomfoolery and hijinks.
Read these lines. When we come back, Buzz, you still got that list of the movies?
Absolutely.
I want to go through that list, and I also want to read you this article that we received yesterday about Superman banging Lois Lane.
Ah, good. Fascinating. That's
someone
right.
who actually has taken our theory about how Superman and his sperm would be so powerful that he would kill Lois Lane if he had sex with her.
So there's actually that in the article?
Well, some guy's actually written an entire article called Man of Steel, Woman of Kleenex.
You know, yesterday I think we were taking it a little too lightly, and today we can address that subject seriously and give it its due.
Well, call now for the secret sound. Hey, all you people who know it, now's the time to call.
Absolutely.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now, and good luck.
They face those demons of war, Don and Mike.
All right, listen, tomorrow, you know, it's the Father's Day show. We're doing that tomorrow since on Friday we have the big Tom Gavin Survivor show.
Right.
Tomorrow, a special treat for Father's Day on this show, including special prizes for your pops. And then Friday, it's the radio version of Survivor. Can 16 people survive 4 hours in a studio with Tom the Monster Gavin?
Who will be left standing?
We will open the lines later today to find more people to be on our third floor island. Robbie, are we set for the guy out in the lobby?
Yeah, we're ready to go when you are.
If the person on the phone now does not win the secret sound,
right,
there is a guy here who is willing to have his head shaved for a guess.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of hair, but he's willing.
Oh, did you see him?
Yes, I did, yes.
Well, then we might have to come up with some other kind of shaving.
You be the judge when you see the guy. I don't think, you know, of course, I didn't make direct eye contact, as I'm often not want to do.
Good man. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don
Todd and Mike, my brothers.
Hi, who is this?
Seth from Oakland.
Seth from Oakland, California. Seth?
Yes, sir.
You call 100, you've won a $50 gift certificate to the World of A&E catalog. Watch Biography, all premiere June on A&E. Biography every night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, only on A&E. Seth, are you ready to go for $500?
That I am.
Online right now. Please don't answer, Seth, until Mike sings like
Jim Nabors.
And we wish you
Godspeed. Caller, name this sound.
There it is. The pesky sound that is driving right-thinking Americans crazy. So many people, Seth, positive that they have the correct answer. And now it's all on you.
Oh, Johnny Boy.
Once in a while, I just shake it.
I know, but
bit,
you know.
So I understand.
I like the tired and true.
I know you do.
I like the H squared. I like the RG.
Next time I bring Shake and Bake back, I promise.
Seth, for $500, what is that sound?
Then is it one of those pop garbage pail lids?
No.
Oh, sorry.
We are sorry. Thank you, though, Seth. And don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
Clue for you. Okay. Wheel him in.
Bring in the boy.
Bring in the gimp. Let's meet him. A guy who actually, yeah, get him now, please, Lisa. A guy who's in the lobby who is willing to have his head shaved if he loses in the secret sound.
Get him out of his box. Take off his leather hood.
How short is his hair before I see him?
It looked to me like maybe a kind of a military cut. I'm not sure. Let's check.
Okay, here he is. Well, that's he's already got kind of a short haircut.
It's, like it's what I thought it was.
All right, well then.
I
don't want to shave a guy's genitals, though.
No, I don't want to do that either.
Maybe we'd make him shave his own genitals.
Hey, that's true.
Hey, hello. Come on in. Take a look at this big lug.
See, I mean, he's really got... Are you military?
No,
you got a military cut all the way.
What's your name?
Matt.
Matt, where are you from?
From Annandale.
Matt, you sure you know the sound?
I'm pretty confident, pretty confident.
You definitely look so you could be in the Don and Mike Road Company.
Yeah, you are.
Absolutely.
You have a very short haircut. You have that that thing where you got almost no hair on the sides and just like a crew cut on top.
Yeah, cheating a little bit.
Yeah, so, it really wouldn't be that painful for him to get his head shaved.
So I guess what we're going to have to demand is that if you want the guests, you have to have your genitals shaved. And I'm sure that either Lisa or Toya would be glad to shave them for you.
Let's ask them if they would be willing to do that.
Ask Lisa first. I think Lisa's much like Mikey in the Life commercials.
Would you be willing to have them shaved if you guessed incorrectly?
I would have no problem with it. I don't know how my wife would feel about it, though.
Okay. All right.
How about what if we did shave the head, and I know I have short hair, but maybe a pie in the face?
No, absolutely not.
Lisa has now entered the
studio.
Hi, Lisa. How would you feel about shaving this guy's genitals?
If he gets the secret sound wrong,
right,
shaving
yes,
his
if he
genitals.
Gets it wrong.
Okay, now how would this go? Would he have to touch them too?
No. He would do all the touching. He would just pull down his pants, turn his back to us there in the corner, and you would go with a
and just the like the top part. It's not
okay.
You'd have to. She wouldn't have to do the berries, right?
Oh no, absolutely not. No, not
just the top,
absolutely, yes.
Not as nuts
with the shears, right?
Yes.
And I tell you, we throw those shears away after that.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, you'd be willing to do that?
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
So now it's with you. You had mentioned your wife before. So what is the verdict? Will you allow?
So if I understand. It's just the top portion.
It's the patch that exists over the twig and berries.
Let me draw you a picture.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Donald now.
So you're in for
Donald now uses artistic expertise.
This is great if you've never seen it.
This is too funny.
This is your thing.
Okay.
These are your nuts.
Right.
This hair right up here.
That's it.
Gone.
That's it.
That's it.
Gotcha. I'll agree to
okay,
that.
Okay, he's going along for it. So you must be extremely confident that you know what the secret sound is.
I'm fairly confident.
And for the ladies listening who would probably be interested to see your genitals, who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
People in the past have told me Matthew Perry from Friends.
Yeah, that's not inaccurate. That's like a military Matthew Perry.
Exactly. Steroids. Yeah, okay. Well, your friends are lying to you.
He's got kind of a
generic look to him.
It's like me saying that I look like Matthew Perry. Although you're closer than me, but listen, let's face it, neither of us look like Matthew Perry.
Wait, which is the one that's Chandler? Is that Matthew Perry?
That's Chandler, yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay.
He's
Chandler.
Not a bad-looking guy. I mean, he's not a bad... He's not like some of the people that come in here.
No, he's not a freak.
Right, not absolutely a freak at all. Looks relatively normal. What do you do for a living, sir, or can you say?
No, I work for an association. And I'm a benefits coordinator for an association.
All right, beautiful. You're very confident. Good luck. We'd like nothing better than to give you the money and not have to have Lisa shave your genitals.
I'm rooting for you. I like this guy.
Okay, good luck. Here's the sound.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is, the same sound we just played on the telephone. And now, for maybe the last 15 seconds while you have hair on your genitals, we're going to give you the Ahern's look if you get this wrong.
And the odds are in my...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I like what I like, and I like what I like.
I know you do.
For your genitals or $500, what is that sound?
I'm going to have to go with the sound of a phone cord being plugged into a phone jack in the wall.
I will have to confer with Rob.
He got it.
Way to go.
He got it.
That's incredible.
He got it.
He got it. He proved them all wrong.
S.O.B.
Wow. Yeah. He got it. No genitals will be shaved today.
Sorry, Lisa. Would you let her shave them anyway?
Maybe for a little extra.
That is, in fact, the sound of a phone, the plug in a phone, the jack. You know, when you stick the thing in. Now, listen to it again. You know the little plastic part that you put into the wall?
Is it going into the wall or going into the phone?
Going into the wall.
There it is.
That's exactly it. Hence the clues.
That's incredible. How did you noodle that through?
Well, actually, it came to me yesterday when...
Had you done it yourself? Had you plugged it in yourself and heard it?
Just into the internet and all the time. But one of you guys said it can be found in nearly every room in your house, and then a caller called in and said something about a phone or something like that after,
Good job. Congratulations. Let's give a round of applause.
Thank you. You got
the 500 bills.
You win $500. Enjoy, my friend.
Thanks a lot, bud.
Thanks, guys. Right, get out of here.
Wow. Get out now. Get out.
That's incredible.
That's good and that's bad. There's a part of me that was looking forward to Lisa shaving his genitals.
Sure. You know what's funny? I'll tell you what's... I don't know what the secret sound is. Rob and Don do. And let me tell you right now, it's so funny to see you guys. You got the face, both your faces. You're like someone is taking your best toy. When somebody gets it right, I knew immediately when he gets it because you said, I'm going to have to confer with Rob. And I knew you weren't faking. And Rob...
No.
And Rob, all I could see was Rob's eyes. And Rob had these basset hound eyes looking at you just like... It was just like this.
We hate to be stumped.
I know.
We hate it. Well, he got it.
He did.
That was the sound of a phone jack.
Oh,
the
amazing.
Phone being plugged
phone
in.
Jack.
The phone jack.
Phone jack talking.
Freaks carry your luggage up to your room.
And so now there will be another one?
There is a new secret sound number four. Now, we cannot start this contest until tomorrow.
Wow.
But I will give you an advance listen now of the new secret sound that we'll start guessing on tomorrow.
Okay, let me get the pen out, because I'm usually, if I get them, I get them right at the beginning.
So this is the brand new secret sound that will go into play on tomorrow's episode.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, that guy's got some balls.
Yeah, that's terrific.
I mean, we would have found out if he had some balls. Yeah, that's and he still has hair on him.
Yeah, he was ready. He was confident. Yeah.
Here is the new secret sound. There it is.
I got it.
No,
I have it.
You.
No, I got it.
I'll give it to you one more time, everybody. This is a free listen on the house.
Beautiful. Right.
Buzz?
You're the man.
Both Buzz and Mike wrote down stapler.
That's not it?
No. No, it is not a stapler, boys.
Wow, that's much more of a sound than the last sound.
That goes into play tomorrow.
Wow.
And congratulations. We got to get that guy's name so we can turn that into a promo. He just won $500. Now, I wonder if all those people who thought they knew what it was really did know what it was. Yeah. Of course, they'll all call and say that they knew what it was.
I knew what he was.
Yeah, right.
All those people have to shave their own genitals right now.
I wish, Buzz. All right.
That's terrific.
Congratulations.
Way to go.
You know, that's how you cut to the front of the line.
Absolutely.
That's how you do it. And when you get it right, we do pay out.
Put his pubic hair on the line.
He sure did.
Yes, he did.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, I know what the new sound is.
Oh, I'm sure you do know what it is, but please wait until tomorrow's episode. Thank you. And get a better phone. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Three-hole paper punch.
No, that's not it.
Sure it is.
And it's incredibly unfair that you're just calling with these moronic guesses.
I mean, this is the honor system, sir. We have a delay, but please don't do that again.
Well, it was an accident. I thought you were Charles Boyhill.
So you thought you were calling our screener.
I didn't know it was on the air.
You know, how many times, when I was just yelling about that other disc jockey, didn't I say the whole point of the show is that we take unscreened calls?
We take unscreened phone calls.
Why do you think we have to yell at everybody to tell them, for the love of Christ, to turn their radios down?
For the love of Christ?
And, you know, your radio's up. Your radio's turned up.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't think you could hear it. I'm sorry, guys. But I just want to tell you.
What?
I did see Frida's pictures on the internet.
Yes.
And I J-O'd to him, but I did cover her face with my thumb.
Thank you. All right. Nice. You saved yourself with that last comment. Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike.
You take it as I would. You take that as a compliment.
Hey,
I do.
Absolutely.
My wife's hot. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Cool. Hey, I just wanted to say, man, that emoting of Robbie as Ahern's mother just drove me to tears.
It was a beautiful performance.
Good job.
Rob Spiewak as Ma Ahern's.
Rob and I were talking about our method for that scene, and it really is difficult to find his method there and his motivation. And I guess, Rob, you're using a relative, some sort of relative?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, and he just does a great job with that. You know, it's easy for me, because, I mean, I've got the guy. I mean, I've got the picture, and I've got the guy. I mean, so I can transform myself. But with Rob, he really has to work harder.
And for my money, where I'm coming from...
When you're doing the father... What are you using?
I'm using the next door neighbor in American Beauty.
Ah, there you go. Fantastic. That guy.
The hard, tough Marine.
Yes, who has the wimpy son.
Yes.
Yes, the totally the eunuch-like son.
The Marine who, as it turns out, is gay.
Is gay.
Who tries to make out with Kevin Spacey.
Brilliant, brilliant motivation.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don.
Hi.
I just want to make a comment on the secret sound.
Yeah, what's your comment?
I don't know if it's me or my radio, but they all sound like a Budweiser opening.
Well, maybe that's because you have so many Budweisers.
Well, it could be.
That's in your head all the time. As a matter of fact, somebody slams a car door, you hear Budweiser can opening.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello.
How are you, gentlemen?
We are doing great, thank you.
That's awesome. I'm a law enforcement officer.
I'm on the job
right now.
Thank you for your service.
I've got one of your vehicles, very marked WJFK vehicle.
One of the WJFK vans?
Right. I thought it was you guys. I was blowing by you. I'm in an unmarked cruiser.
One of our vans with all the logos and stuff on it?
With all the logos on it, that's correct. They're probably listening because they already look like they know they're getting pulled over.
Call us crazy. Don and I don't drive those vehicles. You know, we think it might be foolish.
Are they speeding?
I'm going to let you know that I was going to pull them over and write them some serious citations because I know they're looking at me and they're waving now.
Are they speeding?
They were speeding.
Well, pull them over then.
Yeah, pull them over, please. You have our blessing. Can you catch them?
Well,
good man.
I think he can.
Now, this is a beautiful moment.
Yeah, they want to run. Now, see, the fun is that they unfortunately know that I'm behind them and saw the lights.
No. Come on now. If they were really speeding, really pull them over.
Oh, we're really pulling them over. I was hoping you guys would know because the one guy was talking on the phone.
Has he got a goatee?
The passenger has a goatee.
It might be Big Gum Jim. Uh-huh. You might have to give him the total...
I think I got a warrant for his arrest.
You might have to give him the total body cavity search.
That's right, absolutely.
Body cavity search? He's okay, great. Well, we're pulling him over right now.
Yeah.
What?
It's Dan and Wendell. They're on their field trip today.
It's the engineers.
No. I wouldn't want to bust them.
No, come on, do it.
I'm on a cell phone, so we're going to go up and see what kind of excuse they have.
How
this? Are you walking up to the vehicle right now?
I'm getting my vehicle now.
Are you a state trooper?
I don't want to say what agency I am.
How fast were they going?
I got 5 to 78 miles an hour. 78 miles. miles an hour, gentlemen.
I think you should write them a ticket.
Don, Big Gum just says he's turning the radio off right now.
I don't think that's Big Gum Jim. I think that's Wendell, our engineer.
Ask if it's Dan. Are you guys saying...
That's Wendell, the engineer. And you're who? You're Dan.
Oh, dear.
I swear to God, this is fantastic. Do you understand what this is? This is an undercover cop
right.
who was pulled over the WJFK van for speeding.
This is too funny.
With our engineers in.
This is hysterical.
Yeah, this is Dan. Oh, okay. Let me get my ticket book here. You ever had a citation before?
Oh, no, never.
No?
No, never. That's Dan, all right.
All right. I'm going to get on my radio here and...
Dan is the most law-abiding citizen in the station.
Yeah. You know, that's bad advertising, I'm here to see that.
Hey, can we... hey, officer?
Yes, sir.
Can we talk to Dan for a second?
Mike, there's no need. Hold on. Officer, hold on a second.
Please. I know you've called on the other cell phone.
Yes, hold on.
Okay, very good.
We have Wendell on Wendell's cell phone right now. Hello, Wendell?
Wendell, can you give us an update, Wendell?
Yeah, what?
Well, hold on.
I got one handcuff behind my back already here. I've been eating the...
Now, come on, Wendell. Tell us the truth. Wendell, tell us the truth.
I haven't pulled out the handcuffs yet, but I certainly can.
Wendell, we're trying to get the real scoop on what's going on here, so can you be serious, please?
Sure. We noticed this unmarked car next to us, matching our speed.
Well, you know what? I have to separate the lines because the cop's phone is breaking up. So let's. Okay, Wendell.
Yeah.
There you go. So you noticed the unmarked cop car behind you.
Yeah.
And
checking the speed, watching, being real religious about driving because, nobody likes taking.
Can you tell Wendell's in the car with his boss?
Yeah. So are you driving or is Dan driving?
No, Dan's driving.
Dan is driving.
Yeah.
And were you guys going at a pretty good clip before that?
No, actually, we were doing like 63, 64.
Oh.
The officer said he clocked you at 78.
RPM.
Now, what's happening right now?
Hold on, please. Let me go back to the cop. Hello, officer?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Now, what was the speed that you thought you had clocked them at?
I clocked them at 78 miles an hour.
78
miles an hour. What does Dan have to say about that?
Dan is groveling right now. Tell me about his kids need to eat. He can't afford my $150 ticket. At his speed, unfortunately, I can tow the vehicle. But
Oh my God! Mike, hold on. Let me just say for a second.
Right.
We should stop and ponder this situation. The ponder,
sure.
Effing ponders.
Absolutely.
I think if we asked Officer Friendly,
mm-hmm.
he would probably let Dan and Wendell go.
I would think so.
With perhaps a written warning.
That is true.
But there must be something
that we can do for Dan, that Dan can do for us.
Yeah, something in return.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, if I got to let him back, he's got to do something for me, too.
Oh, he's got to do something.
I quoted at 78. That's kind of hard to let go.
Oh, my God.
I think he dropped it down a little, but I don't.
Well,
of course, a lot of law enforcement officers listen to your radio, including my superior.
And I would also like to point out that wasn't there a story in the news recently about some trooper in St. Louis? He pulled over Kurt Warner,
mm-hmm.
the quarterback of the Rams,
right.
who was doing a similar speed,
yep.
and he took a picture with Kurt Warner,
right.
and that cop got in trouble
yeah.
because he didn't give Kurt Warner a ticket.
So if you really clocked him at that speed, I don't know what he should do.
Well, you guys are honorary law enforcement officers.
Yes, we are.
And I did give a package to Dan to be delivered. Unfortunately, if I knew I was going to be on the road, I always carry some extra stuff with me. And I will have to make it a point to come down and give one of you two that doesn't get this package. I only have one. Actually, I need one for Buzz, too.
Okay.
I will officially deputize you to handle this situation.
Excellent.
Thank you.
We'll take care of it, officer.
But you have to make it more severe than what my punishment would have been. $150, tow the vehicle, 3 points.
Oh, my.
I'm sure,
you are fantastic.
His wife would have gotten him good for that.
You are.
I'll check the license. I think he's expired. We only want to go over on this vehicle. I'm going to check the tinted windows, but Mr. Don, Mr. Mike, his official deputies.
We'll take care of the punishment. We'll do the full body cavity search.
Hold on, please, officer. Hold on.
That's great.
Hold on. Before he make... Officer, let me talk to Wendell before we make a final decision, okay?
My phone or your phone?
On Wendell's phone. Hold on, please. Hold on.
All right.
Wendell?
I swear to God, we're innocent. We didn't do it. We didn't know
no back talk, listen. Wendell. That's not good for your situation.
Now, this officer clocked you at 78. 78.
Now, he has deputized Don and myself to deal with the punishment of you two guys. And we're willing to look the other way, but we need a little something from you two.
What's in it for us?
Yeah, what are you prepared to do?
I'm going to build you a brand new studio.
Well, you have to do that anyway.
That's part of your job description.
Well, actually, we should talk to Dan, since Dan would be the guy getting the ticket. Let me talk to Dan, please.
Dan's the boss.
Hang on a sec. Dan, it's the Don and Mike show. Would you mind going on the air with them?
I hereby agree to going on the air with Don.
Dan, listen.
Anything you can do to get me out of this situation would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, well, Dan, what we need to know is, what can we get from Dan Rison and the engineering staff in return for letting you off from this heinous crime, driving 78 in a 55.
Dan, we have been deputized. We have been given the power to administer the punishment and look the other way, or, you know, simply let you take your medicine. So
Essentially, what you're asking for is something in return for my freedom.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. That's right, Dan. That's right.
I have this wonderful telephone system in the back of the 4Runner.
I believe that's the phone system that you have to install in the brand new studios, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
You said it, mine.
There you go.
Building a new house.
I have a fine promotional piece here.
Poor Dan. Dan's underwater.
He's
right
so
now.
Bad under pressure.
He's so underwater.
Listen, how about...
I recommend, Don.
Dan, how about you just owe us one?
Okay.
That's great.
That choice. You
that's
got it.
It, Dan. That's all we require.
You just owe us one, and sometime down the road, when everything gets effed up in the studio...
You just remember the two guys that got you out of the ticket.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds
all right.
Fair.
All right, hold on, Dan. Let me tell you guys. Officer?
Yes, sir.
You better write him a warning.
I think at minimum a couple warnings. I'm having the vehicle inspection unit come here to take a look at the vehicle.
Fantastic.
Oh, well, now, listen, that's out of Dan's hands. If, you know,
that's right.
If that crappy WJFK van is not up to...
If I can affect Ken Stevens' bottom line, then I'm going to do it, because I've been a long-time listener since I was a big patrolman.
Good man.
In this area 15 years, and I love your show.
You're a great man.
Warning, because I listen to you guys everywhere.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Listen, please let Dan and Wendell slide, but anything that's wrong with that van...
Yes, find the station as much as you want.
You write it up. Is the inspection valid on that?
You've got two more weeks. Repair warning on that one.
Damn, what a shame.
Listen, I've seen cops do this in the movies. Couldn't you just walk to the back of the van and take your nightstick and knock out one of the taillights?
I already did that.
All right, thank you. Hey, officer, thank you. Thank you for helping them out.
It's my pleasure. I did give a package for you, from me to you, gentlemen, and I'll have to get some more to you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
For one of you.
Thanks a lot, officer.
We love the free cop stuff. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Hold on, please.
For those who serve. All right.
Now, that is a grade A cop.
And Dan was so funny. You're right. Under pressure, it's like, well, what would you like? I've got a beautiful phone system in here. Both of them went that route.
Yeah.
You know, that prepared to offer us absolutely nothing.
Yeah, something that they have to do next week anyway. Right. Install the new studio.
Well, I've got a brand new control board sitting there in my office. Yeah, the one you have to install for the company.
That might be the greatest thing I've ever heard on this show.
And you know, it's like, well, go ahead and pull them over. And as soon as you said that,
you hear the siren.
The siren go on.
That might be the greatest spontaneous moment I've ever heard on this show. An unmarked police car pulling over the WJFK van.
That's fantastic.
Jesus H. Christ.
Oh, man. Hi to all the people that are listening right now. We do. We have a lot of friends in law enforcement, and they were, I hope they're enjoying that today.
We must interview Dan and Wendell as soon as they get here. We must check out their underpants.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can you imagine if he had to do a full body cavity search on Wendell and Dan?
And
well, who knows if they had a beer for lunch? Dan and Wendell.
Wendell, maybe. Wendell wasn't driving, though.
It gets in the way of his cigarettes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how are you guys today?
Oh, are you kidding me? Fantastic. God damn. That, you know, if that guy had to get his genitals shaved, those two events combined could have been the single greatest half hour in the history of the show.
Yeah, it could have been strong. It really could have been strong.
Could have been an all-time show stop.
But the guy walked away with the $500, Dan and Wendell walking away without, with a slap on the wrist.
Hello?
Very good. Hey, Don, moment of your time, please.
Yes.
You go to Ocean City all the time. Tell me, the Princess Royale, is that a good place to stay, or is the Holiday Inn better?
I think the Princess Royale is a nicer hotel.
Nicer hotel.
The nicest hotel in all of Ocean City, Maryland,
the Coconut, right?
Yeah, the Coconut Mallory.
Coconut Mallory, great place.
And not a good place for kids, huh?
Yeah, great. Oh, the Princess Royale is the best place for kids.
Very good, Don.
Thank you, my friend.
Enjoy the show. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good advice.
I am getting nothing for that plug, incidentally.
If you really want a good place for kids, though, it's not in Ocean City. It's right here in Fairfax, Virginia. Let me recommend a place called the Breezeway.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Great for the youngsters.
Hi, I just want to let you guys know that I called Frank Ahrens at the Washington Post to tell him about your situation with the cops. And I got his voicemail, but I did recommend to him that he write this up in the paper.
You know, that's a prime example of something spontaneous that happened on the show. But I guarantee we'll never make it in the newspaper.
Absolutely.
It never will. It never will. But thank you, though. Thank you for alerting him. You know what? We should have our listeners call him every time something groundbreaking, spontaneous, like, happens on this show.
Absolutely. Just, you know, because he always says, well, I didn't know. Well, now we'll have documentation that, you know, people will call and say, we left him the voicemail about that.
And you guys should also bombard his voicemail to tell him about Friday's show, you know, our Survivor show with Tom Gavin.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'll do it for you.
Thank you, my
friend.
Everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Remember the drama.
See you later. You don't get more dramatic than the two engineers being pulled over live on the air by a cop.
Yeah, those two guys probably driving back to the station right now in the squidgy-mobile.
Well, let's see if Wendell's still online. Wendell?
Hey there.
Are you guys done with him yet?
We're free to go.
Free to go.
Fantastic. Are you rolling now, Wendell?
We're doing the legal limit now. Thank you.
You got the flashers on, probably.
You guys got pretty freaked out by that, didn't you?
Well, we were wondering. Oh, here's somebody we would do us now. We were wondering what the deal was because we're speeding up. He speeds up. We slow down. He slows down. We change lanes. He changed lanes. It's like, okay, we know the guy has spotted us. What did he want?
Well, he wants 78 and a 55.
Yeah, he wants 150 bucks for a speeding. Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah. What kind of undercover car was it?
Crown Vic.
Crown Vic. Oh, you know, I know you don't like the Fords.
Well, that's a great car, and that's a great cop. And
fine officer.
We need to talk to you guys when you get back here today, okay?
Will do.
Going with all local safety laws, how long do you think it'll take you to get here?
17 hours.
17 hours.
Where did this happen? Were you guys in Maryland or Virginia?
Yeah, just inside of Maryland, about 70 miles north of the border.
70 miles north of the border?
You mean the Virginia border?
Yeah. We're still north of Baltimore.
Oh, you're that view way up there.
Wow.
Oh, so you got a Maryland guy that got you.
Oh, yeah. We were up in Philly today.
I thought this was like on 66.
I bet they were flying.
No.
I bet they were flying.
If you guys were all the way, what were you like, on 695 or something like that?
95.
You're 95. Way up north, just over the border.
Oh, please, you guys had to be speeding.
That's funny.
All right, Wendell, we'll see you later.
All right, thank you, guys.
Let that be known to all, the power of the Don and Mike Show. All the way up north of Baltimore, we had a policeman friend.
Didn't you have the image they were just out on 66 or something like that?
Right by the station.
Oh, that is hysterical.
Jesus Christ. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Oh, seriously?
Seriously, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Have you ever heard of FBOA?
Ever heard of what?
FBOA.
No, I have not.
It's like this club at a school. It's Future Business Leaders of America.
Has Frank Ahern's been in that club? Sounds like a nerd club.
No, it's like all this stuff just for business and stuff.
He's setting us up. Yeah, he's doing a very bad job.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
I just want to tell you, it's time just, smoke a cigarette and take the rest of the afternoon off. You're not going to be able to top the that cop deal.
That's a pretty unique moment on the show.
Yeah,
it really is.
So.
And, you know, it's even more special that they were that far away.
Yeah.
I mean, they're obviously listening. He's listening on the AM station
in
north
Baltimore.
Of Baltimore.
Wow.
Fantastic job.
Jesus Christ. Well, and those guys are lucky, too, being out of state.
They probably have that, even though it was in Maryland. I mean, it was just that far away that they had that feeling of being, the stranger cop. Oh, no, we're going to be old. Did you hear it? They're still wrapped tight.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yes.
Hello for the evening, at least.
They're flipped out, man.
We're 70 miles away. Wendell couldn't even give us his location. 70 miles southwest of the northwest border, sir.
And everybody knows how that goes. I mean, I don't doubt that feeling that Wendell had when you know, when you speed up and the cop speeds up and you slow down and you change lanes and he changes lanes. You know, it's just a matter of time until the blue lights go on.
Yeah. You know, a buddy of mine used to do news on a show I did a million years ago, and he was a frustrated cop. He always wanted to be a cop. He's no longer with us. And he used to go out, and his car was all kind of decked out a little bit like a cop car. And what he would do, he knew every state trooper, because he was doing the news, and he was always asking them about what was going on. And he would get out on Route 50 outside of Annapolis, and he'd
go up next to a car that looked like a young guy that was kind of a hot rodder, and he'd get the guy going, and he'd get the guy going faster and faster and faster and faster, and he would be leading him right into the speed trap. You know the speed trap on 50 right outside of Annapolis, right up on that rise
where they always are?
And he would have the guy going like 80 miles an hour at that point, and sure enough, they'd walk out into the middle of the road, point at the guy doing 80.
Now, that's bad karma.
He never coordinated it with the cops.
The guy you're talking about is dead, so I guess the bad karma ended up happening to him. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't jerk some guy's chain around. Listen, when you're out on the road, when you're talking about speeders, there has to be like a code of thieves, because we all speed.
Do you know, which I've done many times, when you flash the lights at somebody after you go by a speed trap, and you flash the lights at oncoming traffic, that is illegal?
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't. That's a common misconception.
Oh, really?
That's true. A lot of people are scared into believing that, but the truth of the matter is, there is no law against flashing your lights.
Well, then why did I know somebody that was actually pulled over by doing that?
Cops don't like it when you do that, and they will find a reason to pull you over.
Because they saw, a cop saw somebody flashing lights, and they were pulled over. I remember somebody telling me.
No, I've read about that this recently.
But it's not against the law.
A common misconception. No, it isn't.
You know, if you have to travel a long distance, a lot of times people flashing their lights work better than any radar detector you could ever buy.
It's always the best.
And I especially appreciate the people who give you the heads up, like, 2 miles in advance.
Yeah, so you back it down the whole way.
And isn't that a sweet moment when someone has flashed the lights to you, and you back off, and you drive about a mile, and you think, you know, what were they flashing the lights about? But still, you keep your cruise control at 60.
And then it's a hidden car.
You go another mile, and then you see like 20 people pulled over on the side of the road.
Right.
Oh, that's a sweet moment.
Is it as sweet, though, as when you fly by a speed trap, and for whatever reason, they've got somebody else, or they just aren't choosing to stay, and you are caught dead to rights, just go by, and you look in your rearview mirror, and it's like...
And then you would think you would learn your lesson, but you don't.
No, not at all.
You don't. You just keep speeding.
Horrible.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah, hi.
Buddies, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, this is Walt from Harford County, up north of Baltimore.
Yes, hi.
I was driving home, and I passed your van with the trooper behind him.
Did you really see it?
Your engineer is standing out on the side of the highway with the phone up to his ear, and the trooper's in back of him. But from what I could see, it looked like it was a brown Maryland State Trooper car, and it wasn't.
Well, we don't know that for sure, do we?
Right. Come on, we're trying to keep that as a secret. The guy was a good guy.
Yeah, the guy was a very good guy, but I just want to let you know that I think they hit a speed trap. I don't know this about the guy following him. I think he just caught him off on the side of the road.
I think he might have been a county guy, or maybe even a local guy.
Thank you, my friend, for the
banana.
Right,
thank you.
Bye-bye. Whatever.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Let's try to keep that cop out of the picture. That cop did something nice.
Yes, absolutely.
Hello?
Don.
And we don't know what jurisdiction he was with.
Have no idea.
No idea.
He could have been a park police officer.
Hello?
Don.
Yeah.
Hey, wouldn't that have been a great part of the contest that if he got it right, that he got to shave Lisa's genitals?
I believe Lisa's genitals are already shaved.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't it have been nice to find out?
Buzz told me.
Sorry, Lisa.
Good answer. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, buddy.
In regards to flicking your high beams on that, what the law says is that you can't turn your lights off when it's raining or when the situation's warranted. But if you just flick your high beams, that's not illegal. Turning your lights on and off is.
Oh, okay. So technically, you're both right, because, I mean, if your lights are already on and you do the high beams, it's not illegal. But if you turn them on and off, which is what everybody does to signal people, then that's illegal.
Most cars today, you can just pull the lever, and it'll flash the brights without having to turn your lights on.
Yeah, but it's actually turning them on and off.
But, yeah, wouldn't that count, though, Buzz, if you didn't have your lights on and you just flashed the brights?
You're
turning the lights on to flash the brights.
This is a hot topic with a lot of people, and the most recent thing I've read very recently is that, no, it is not illegal to flash your brights.
Well, now,
I was just going to say, I would side with Buzz, because the whole time I've known Buzz, Buzz goes to court to fight every goddamn speeding ticket he gets.
Where are you getting your information, sir?
Oh, me? I drive for a living, and so that's one of the things on the highway. You always want to flip your high beams, and what came down in my company was if situation warrants and your lights are on, you have to flash your high beams. But if conditions don't warrant your headlights being on, flashing your high beams is not turning them on and off. It's just hitting the high beams.
Well, and lots of people now have cars where you can't turn the lights off anyway.
Yeah, where they stay on right.
all the time.
But I'd be curious to know what the law is as far as if you're cruising down like you and I have seen, where we're out there and you've seen the same thing, where you go on and off, on and off, on and off. I mean, I remember, you know, doing that to warn people. I'd like to know if that's illegal.
I don't know. I don't think you can turn your lights off at night, but you can still flash your high beams. Well, some people do that, believe it or not. They push and pull the plunger in and out.
Not in Mike's show. That's what Charlie does.
Even when there's not a speed trap. Charlie only does it when he's going by King's Dominion.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How are y'all?
We're great, thank you.
Listen, I'm here in Fairfax, Virginia, and I've actually received a ticket from a cop who caught me flashing my lights at the warning oncoming traffic about a speed trap.
Well, that's exactly what Mike was just talking about.
So what did it say on the ticket?
It said improper use of the emergency lights or something of that nature. It was a BS ticket, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, no, I don't know. Maybe you're both right. I don't know.
And what I read was that officers sometimes will try to snow you with some other violation, trying to convince you that it's illegal to do
that. You know, I don't doubt that this has probably happened to a lot of people. I'd like to hear, you know, what's going on.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're great. Thanks.
Hey, I just want to ask Buzz. Buzz, yes. I think you're referring to, there was a court case years ago that the police officer tried to sue someone for doing that, and it was knocked out of court.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just letting y'all know about that. I think that's what he's talking about, is what the court case was from years ago.
Whatever. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, listen, just keep flashing them. It's the nice thing to do to let other people know.
It's kind of courtesy, the odds of you getting caught doing that.
Right. Minuscule. Okay, thank you. Hold on. Time out. Quick break. Great moment on the show.
Yes.
You're welcome, Dan. You're welcome, Wendell. And thank you, officer. We will be right back.
America's most cunning linguist, Don and Mike.
So we want to congratulate Matt Marks from Annandale, Virginia, won $500 when he came into the studio and put his genital hair on the line.
He did indeed.
When he gets the secret sound, it was the sound of a phone jack being plugged into a wall.
Fantastic.
We will have the brand new secret sound for you on tomorrow's episode. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know I spotted the van on my way home, and I would have to say that they have learned their lesson. They were in one of the slower lanes, seeming to obey the speed limit.
Good. I bet, you know, they've had the crap scared out of them.
Oh, absolutely. I bet the van smells like feces.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, honey.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
It's time now to talk movies.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico. Here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
Charlie Stossel, who I am willing to say, you are kryptonite. I am Superman. You are kryptonite. Charlie, I will never bet anything ever with you again.
Why?
You know what?
Because you're 0-2 and you would have been 0-3?
Yes, correct. You know, I hate to lose.
But if the Pacers thought that way, would they going to the finals?
I hate to lose.
Earlier in the week, he said that you know box office.
Yes, I heard that.
You might not know good movies, but you know box office.
I begrudgingly gave you a compliment. Your taste in movies sucks, but when it comes to what a movie will make at the box office... You're the king. Well, and you called it. You said that stupid Gone in 60 Seconds would make $25 million and be the number one movie.
Yeah.
Goddamn if it wasn't. I woke up on Monday morning. I went to that website.
Right.
And I saw it, and I thought, you know what? I was so positive. Thank God I didn't make that bet with Chuck Stossel.
Well, I'm glad.
Really? You're the guru. You know. I mean,
the guru.
You know your box office. You can't get laid.
Well,
you don't know a good movie if it bites you in the ass.
That's right.
But you do know how much movies are going to make in the box office.
You know your business. When it talks about The Gate, you know what movies, which, I mean, is probably good for you because you do marketing for these big motion picture houses. And so, I mean, you know what's going to be hot and what's not. Yeah. And that's important in your line of work, right?
That's the idea. But I also understand I got some mail this week
from...
Deuce Bigelow out in California.
Oh, yeah, right. Thanks for reminding me.
There it is now.
The pool cleaner.
The pool
Deuce
guy.
Deuce Bigelow.
Yeah. You know, I would have forgotten that if you hadn't reminded me, Charlie.
Oh, no, I totally think he looks like Deuce Bigelow, probably. And, once again, he's gone the extra mile with the fancy stationery.
He always sends priority mail overnight.
Yes, he does.
And then writes his letters on lined... three-punch paper.
Although, it's normally the spiral notebook paper that he just kind of rips out and has all the things hanging off on the end.
Here's the hate letter for Charlie Stossel
three
this
pages?
Week. And I would say, wow, it's a five-pager today.
Five pages for you, Charles Stossel.
I've not pre-read this, so we'll see how
really?
It is.
Okay.
Dear Don and Mike, I was in Washington, D.C., in a bookstore last month when I came across Charlie Stossel's old diary.
How long has it been since he's written a letter? Maybe 6 months?
It's been a long time since he got a hate letter from this guy.
Strings words together.
The diary reads like this. September 3rd, 1970. Dear diary, it's my first day of school, and I can hardly wait to skip to school with Mommy and Grandmama at my side. 6 hours later. Dear diary, I'm never going back to school again.
Then I get beat up.
The kids spray-painted my saddle shoes, gave me several wedgies, and placed 5 kick-me signs on my back. They also pantsed me during recess, stole my graham cracker cookies during lunch, and later locked me in the janitor's closet. Finally, while walking home from school, a little girl set my hair on fire, causing third-degree burns to my bald spot and upper forehead.
Wow.
The bald spot that I guess you had when you were 6 years old.
Yeah. Starts falling out in junior high.
July 14, 1974. Dear diary,
this would make me 10, Don.
I'm so excited. I'm ready to burst outside. I'm going away for summer camp for an entire week, which is special because I've never been away from home. I'm in the car right now with my mom, and we're 5 minutes away from camp.
That's going to change in a minute.
We are 5 minutes away from Camp Curly Bush. 1 hour later. Dear diary, I've never been so humiliated in my life. 20 minutes after I set foot on the campgrounds, 2 girls knocked me down and pinned me to the ground while another boy urinated in my face.
Oh dear.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
These mean kids also super glued my nostrils shut and tacked my right ear with silly putty. When the girls finally let me up, I quickly took a shower and brushed my teeth to get the urine taste out of my mouth. I was so distraught and visibly shaken, I decided to take a walk around the lake to calm my nerves. 5 minutes into the walk, I was quickly surrounded by 3 girls.
All
they
girls.
Knocked me to the ground.
Once again.
Took my shirt and pants off and proceeded to hogtie me with a piece of rope. And they hoisted me in the air and threw me into poison ivy. My counselor and kids were shouting in unison, go home, albino boy. Go home.
The counselor, too.
When my mom finally arrived, 4 hours later to take me home.
4 hours.
The camp counselor started throwing horse feces at me while I sprinted towards the station wagon. Next entry, September 2nd, 1979. Dear diary, today would have been the first day of high school, but the principal and school nurse convinced me to take a home studies course rather than getting my ass kicked on a regular basis. It's kind of a bummer because I was looking forward to signing up with the junior ROTC, taking drama classes, and perhaps trying out for the Girls' Glee Club. May 20, 1983. Dear Diary, you'll never believe what just happened to me. A girl called me and invited me to be her date at the senior prom. I've never been on a date before, so I'm very excited and nervous at the same time. Her name is Amy, and she attends Jefferson School for the Blind. 6 hours later, your diary.
I'm never going on a date again.
The date didn't turn out so well. We went to a fine restaurant, and Amy's guide dog ate my entire meal. That goddamn dog also kept urinating on my freshly pressed slacks. Amy danced with me twice, and then informed me that she preferred dancing with women only.
I guess you have that same charm on her.
Yeah. Right.
June 10, 1986. Dear Diary, I've been invited to a bachelor party, and I'm not quite sure what to expect. The next morning, Dear Diary, I just woke up in a strange bed and I'm feeling a bit woozy. I remember drinking 2 Coors Lights and then I must have passed out. Hold on, Diary. There's something moving under the covers. Well, that's strange. there's a little monkey holding a vibrator.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. I've just discovered that my butt is bleeding. And there's half a glass of cranberry juice on the nightstand.
Of course.
What have those dirty bastards done? What have those dirty bastards done to my inflamed rectum? What the hell are you laughing at, you goddamn little monkey? Now, get the hell out of here and take that extra large vibrator with you. I just hope that a tube of Neosporin can put out the flame in my ass.
Wow.
1999, July 4th. Dear Diary, well, I'm 35 now, still single, still dateless, and I haven't been laid in over 7 years. Well, I suppose I have no one to blame but myself. Over the last few years, I've kind of let myself go. I'm rapidly approaching 300 pounds on my 5'7" frame.
Wow.
When I put on my red dress to go to work, the buttons pop off faster than microwave popcorn.
Oh, God.
Also, when I go to knot my bow tie on my Chris Berman-like neck, I feel a slight sense of strangulation. It's gotten so bad that every other month I have to go to the tailor shop so they can let out my big black slacks. Well, Diary, I have to go now. There's going to be a good... I can't read his handwriting. A good firework show.
Firework show.
Oh,
July 4th.
Oh, a good firework show on TV, 4th of July. Sincerely, Pat Morse.
Oh, wow. Pat, gotta get back credit. He's pretty great. Hey, you know, if he would write one letter every 6 to 8 months, it would be good.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was very good.
That's pretty great hate right there, Charlie.
That was good.
I love school. I hate school. I love camp. I leave camp in 4 hours.
I'll put myself against Deuce Bigelow like him any
My favorite part was
the
camp counselors throwing horse excrement at you.
I like being peed on myself.
After being held down by three girls.
Three girls.
All right, Chuck, there's your hate letter this week.
Wonderful.
What is new in the cinema this
weekend?
There's
a lot, actually, out this week. Let's start with Titan A.E., because I know that you had mentioned Bart wanted to go see this.
He's dying to see it
and
this weekend.
This is a bit odd, because Fox seems to be marketing this to boys aged 13 to 16.
What's this, about an account executive?
Yes, it is.
Titan A.E.
What is Titan A.E.?
Titan A.E. is a spaceship that supposedly... It's a legendary ship that has the future mankind. Or the Earth has been destroyed.
It's after Earth, right?
After Earth. The Earth has been destroyed by a bunch of aliens. Mm. And our hero, his name is Kale. He is in search of this ship. He has a map genetically put in his hand, and he's trying to read how you get to the ship. The animation looks a lot like Heavy Metal, plays a lot like Heavy Metal, but... It's not Heavy Metal. This movie is very good. I was surprised at how well it's paced for an animated film. I was really surprised.
You have never met a cartoon you haven't loved.
You love animated films.
No. There are a lot of cartoons I have not liked.
How many porcelain dolls do you give Titan A?
We're going to give this 3. I thought it wasn't bad.
You didn't like Fritz the Cat, did you?
I've never seen Fritz the Cat.
Okay. Three porcelain dolls for Titan A.E.
Shaft.
Yes, John
Shaft.
He's a bad mother.
Samuel L. Jackson.
I'm talking about Shaft.
And we can dig it.
Very good.
Thank you.
Directed by John Singleton, this is a kind of an add-on to the 1971 film. Richard Roundtree reprises his role as the Shaft that we know.
I love the fact they put the original Shaft in there.
Sam Jackson is his nephew, who has learned from his mentor uncle how to be a badass cop, how to take care of the drug lords, the scum of the earth that are threatening us good people of the world. And he has to go after Christian Bale's character. Because Christian Bale was in American Psycho. He kills a student, a black kid.
Was this the guy who was the bad guy in American Psycho? Oh, yeah, he is a scary actor.
He's a bad guy in this movie, too. He's very rich, very well-to-do, gets out of jail a little early after doing this murder, and then wants to go after Shaft and anybody else who might have... You know, witnessed or done things with the murder. Toni Collette is in it as a murder witness.
Mm-hmm.
Busta Rhymes is in it as a streetwise kind of informer for Shaft.
What about his brother? Hyman. Buster Hyman?
That's in the sequel.
Okay.
That's in the next one.
How many porcelain dolls? We know what Shaft is about. How many porcelain dolls?
Two and a half.
Oh, you didn't like it that much.
No,
you know why?
I'll
tell you why. Because it's a black movie.
That's it.
Gotcha. Okay.
He never likes the black movie.
He sure doesn't.
No, I don't.
All white cast. Forrest Gump loves it.
Absolutely.
Except for the fact that Forrest Gump's best friend was a black guy.
Exactly.
Right.
I hated that part of it.
Yeah,
I did not care for that at all.
Okay, what else?
The last one, Fantasia 2000.
Oh, he loves this.
Okay, here we go.
He loves this.
Here we go.
Get ready for a rave.
It's Fantasia. It's the classical music, Shostakovich.
You wonder why we make fun of you. You know, I saw a trailer for Fantasia. It's been around for a million years, and I said it might be kind of cool to take my daughters to this. My wife said to me, because I don't remember Fantasia, but that Fantasia for little kids is a little scary.
No, I don't think it's. I don't think for kids it's
a little scary, right?
I don't know. It's scary. I just don't think they're going to really be into it. How many 5 or 6 year olds like classical music? Mm-hmm. They can go in and watch animation put to it. But this, the only one they kept is
Charlie. My kids play classical music.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Both
they,
of them,
they go to Juilliard.
The symphonies.
I'm sorry.
They're both prodigies.
They are. Mm-hmm. They only kept the Sorcerer's Apprentice, the Mickey Mouse one with the brooms. The rest of it is all new. Very well done. I mean, it's what you. It's
shocker, you love it. How many porcelain dolls do you give?
Three.
Come on, go ahead. Don't lie to us.
Two good sneak previews this weekend.
Give it four. Give it what you really want to give
Chicken
it.
Run.
That's got to be another movie you love, right? That's like the claymation with
the
chickens.
It is the claymation. It's very clever, but very British.
It looks funny as hell.
It's very
British. You know me
British.
And the British stuff.
I think it's going to take time for people to get used to that British humor in it. We'll talk more about that next week.
It
and the one that is a home
funny.
Run mm-hmm. is Me, Myself, and Irene, the new Jim Carrey movie.
That we are agreed on.
Which is gross like Kingpin. It's more the Kingpin sense of humor than the Something About Mary sense of humor. I'm not even going to give away some of the scenes, but there's on film crapping, there's urinating that goes in all different directions. At one point, Jim Carrey is above a toilet.
Okay, come on. Now you're giving us CPS. We don't want to hear it.
Feeding.
You've seen it already?
Yeah.
And is it great?
I busted the gut laughing.
All right. Okay. Which was better, Fantasia or Me, Myself, and Irene?
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Good answer.
But I'm being very serious when I say that.
How does Me, Myself, and Irene stack up to Something About Mary?
There's something with Mary. It looks like it was written by 5-year-olds, but it was very, I think, upper level comedy. I think this is more like Kingpin.
Okay.
More like Kingpin.
Well, listen, I told you, you can't believe the thing he says about the movies. He knows box office.
Yes, he does.
And Charlie, as I hand you your copy.
Thank you, Don.
Aren't you sponsored this week by somebody?
Yes, Don. I'm brought to you by Doc Harry's House of Ribs. The crab cakes are outstanding.
Oh, boy.
It's not just a rib joint. Doc Harry's is on Multiplex Drive in Centerville. Call Doc Harry's at 703-815-RIBS.
Asked to sit in Gil Stossel's booth.
No, he's not there anymore.
I know. Hello, Don and Mike.
Radio God.
Hi there.
You know, Charlie, you're lying, man. You sitting in a theater watching a movie called Shaft. You loved it. You know you did.
Oh, I got it. You're making some kind of sexual reference. So. Okay.
Yeah. And you know what? You can't get laid. You're targeting the wrong sex.
Oh, come on.
That's uncalled for.
That's piling on.
That's terrible.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Very picky.
Hello.
I would say this is my favorite part of the show this week, and I know a movie's going to be great on Monday. If Charlie says it's a great movie and Don says he hates it, I can't think of any particular movies, but I know it's a movie I need to go out and see. And I'd like to thank you guys for this part of the show.
Is this a real fan call for Charlie Stossel?
No. I that's my indication for when I've seen when you guys go out and see stuff. That's just generally what I...
Wait, are you saying that you agree with Charlie's reviews or you disagree with them?
I'm saying if Charlie likes something and you don't like it, because if Charlie likes it and you like it, that doesn't mean a thing. But if Charlie likes it and you hate it, it's a good movie for me.
What about the other way around? If I hate it and Don likes it?
Then I'm not sure. Do you guys both like... what the hell is the Quentin Tarantino hit? I'm not sure about the other way around. I just know that the way I said it.
Did you like Saving Private Ryan?
I didn't see it.
Titanic?
I like that.
I like that.
Oh, you guys are both fags.
Yeah.
Those are the great defining lines for Charlie and I.
Yeah.
I didn't like Saving Private Ryan.
I didn't like Saving Private Ryan either.
I didn't like Titanic.
I liked Titanic.
I never saw Titanic. But I know I didn't like
it. I've always wanted to ask you, and I want an honest answer.
Go ahead.
I want an honest answer.
Ask away.
All the time it's been on cable, and all the time it's been on pay-per-view, and I know how you love pay-per-view, you never just decided to maybe just sneak a peek, watch a few minutes
of it? I have gone by it on cable. I've gone by. It's a fag movie. I'm not a fag.
Notting Hill, another fag movie.
Okay,
I like Notting Hill.
Hold on. Let me ask you on the phone. Did you like Notting Hill?
I like Notting Hill.
So did I.
I'm surrounded by fags.
I'm a fag.
I'm sorry you guys don't know.
I'm
good
a fag
movies.
When it comes up. But hey, we line up on a lot of them. You know, like Saving Private Ryan, because we stand alone. Forrest Gump, we stood alone on that one.
Mike and I are the only people that we did not like Forrest Gump when it came out.
I thought Forrest Gump was jive.
Sucks.
All right. Totally jive.
Confirming this, French Kiss, I liked it.
Pardon me?
you guys like French Kiss?
With Billy Crystal?
No, with Meg Ryan and
Paris
Kevin
Klein. Meg Ryan and Kevin Klein were when he was a French winery guy, and she goes out to France.
I didn't see it.
Oh, Kazan wrote and directed. No, that wasn't one of my favorites.
Well, have a good day, guys.
Goodbye.
That guy, you know, he was trying to bust chops, and he was just so challenged he couldn't do it.
I don't know what's going
His
on
name,
there.
His name, Pat Morris.
Hello. John and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, this is sort of unrelated to what you're talking about, but did you know that Tim Gavin's, like, pouring out to another radio station, too?
Tim Gavin.
Timmy. Okay, listen, I'm going to speak with Tim about Tim Gavin calling other radio shows. If Tim wants to be involved in this show, he cannot call other radio shows.
Yeah, we don't want to hear that. We already went through that. We will talk to Tim about it.
But does everybody?
I was at work. I can't hear you till I got.
Does everybody understand though that there's another disc jockey here in DC who's desperate for ratings, and the way he's trying to get ratings is by making this show seem like it's part of his show, and we're not going to buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening, and I know you're listening right now, so you can plan your entire show tomorrow.
Right.
I tell you what,
Timmy,
we'll talk about you when you get above a 3 share in the ratings.
Thank you very much.
When you beat Jack Diamond,
right?
That's when we'll talk about you on this show.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Who?
Hello.
Yes, it's you.
Well, this guy is listening to the radio.
Turn your radio down, please.
Hello? You see what a hell this is working here?
This is a hell.
You see this looking?
And it's always after a call like that we
do
a call like this. He knows.
I know he's on the air. Absolutely, he knows it.
Moron.
Douche. Rat bastard. Weasel. Big effer,
scumbag,
idiot,
dickwad,
ass white,
ass breath,
beetle dick,
numbskull,
hammerhead,
loser,
pinhead, friggin' dope,
mother mucker,
jerk,
ass rammer.
Oh, that's your own.
Wow.
That's a salsa one right now.
F-stain.
It finally speaks.
Oh, welcome.
We win.
Welcome to the show.
We got him to talk.
Game, set, and match.
We got you.
Thank you.
All right, Charlie, you're excused.
All right, guys.
See you next week.
See you later. We have to break. We will be right back.
Kind of like a 5-foot fecal coil of comedy.
Hi.
The Don and Mike Show.
There we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Listen, you guys should take two different polls about the movies, because Charlie Stauff was just given the pretty much the party line. He knows what, as guys and girls both going to movies, and he knows what's going to sell. You need to give the regular guy poll, pretty much the listeners that are, you know, geared to your show.
Well, that's why I offer my instinctive picks on which movies are good and which movies are not, and that's why Mike also comes
in. I offer mine for the ladies.
Mm-hmm. usually you guys kind of jive on things, but it seems like Mike's a little bit off for some of your picks sometimes.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Hey, I don't think so. I think that I'm in touch with my feminine side, and therefore I can give a little perspective, you know, on some of these chick flicks. And there are, you know, I think that there is the occasional chick flick that I enjoy, but I also side with Don quite often on movies like Private Ryan and also Forrest Gump. Big blockbusters where sometimes we'll be going against the world on movies that are very popular.
Is it a bad movie? Is a bad movie? Is a bad movie?
That's right.
Where you guys lose me is like on those fag Notting Hill movies.
Would you agree, though, that you and I never, ever buy into hype about movies?
No, we don't.
I mean, you know, even...
We're pretty good about that. Sometimes we will, even if a movie is good,
right,
if it's overhyped, we will go against it,
sure,
simply because the movie has been so overhyped.
Not as good as it's supposed to be.
Right. I mean, that's what I thought when I saw Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not as good as I thought it was going to be.
I would use the example of this movie, Me, Myself, and Irene, that we are both super jacked because of all the hype about this movie.
Yeah, and if it's
we want to like it, but I'll tell you, if it's not
slap nut funny,
absolutely,
you know, we're going to come in and scream at you.
Sure.
Although sometimes, you know, I was talking with Mike in the office before the show today.
Right.
sometimes it takes a while for a movie. This is for me personally, a movie to grow on me. When I first saw Austin Powers 2,
right,
I came at running in here and said, not as funny as the first.
Sure.
Didn't like it as much.
Uh-huh.
But now when I see it on cable, after I see it about 100 times...
Yeah, when you know, you just appreciate more its cartoon-like quality.
Yeah, there are parts of that movie that are really funny. So my original thought, while I think I was right, it's not as funny as the first, I have to amend that now and say, you know what, Austin Powers 2, it is a pretty funny movie. I don't turn it off when it comes on.
And you brought up the other day, the classic example of that is Rob Lowe in that movie when he's doing the, you know, the impression of
he is
number
great.
Two.
He,
I mean, it's hysterical.
He truly is great. Hello, Don and Mike show. Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, what's up, Tom?
Hi, buddy.
Hi, buddy. Tom.
Yes?
Tom, now listen.
Yes?
Tom, why are you calling other disc jockeys?
I don't know.
Well, you're not supposed to.
I call you all the time.
No, no, no. Tom, you're calling that other disc jockey who desperately wants us to talk about him.
That's very bad, Tom.
Tom?
Yeah. Tom?
Tom, yeah. We're basing an entire promotion around you on Friday, but I want to let you know something. You can be replaced. There are other people who are just as scary as you. I could just as easily put John Kim in a room with 16 people.
We can't have you calling other radio stations, Tom.
Okay.
Especially when we're doing promotions with you.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. I won't do it anymore.
If you ever call that other disc jockey up, call him up and say the F word.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
All right, Tom.
And I mean, that's off air, on air, whatever. No more.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
We own you.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yeah. You owe me?
No, we own you. O-W-N.
O-W-N. Hey, right. Did the underwear call, the other pants call in?
Did what, Tommy?
Did my underwear call in?
Did your underwear call in?
Yeah. You know, Josh, don't you? The cell phone shooter?
Who knows what, you know.
What are you talking about? Are you talking about other radio stations?
No, Josh, down in Falls Church. You know, the cell phone shooter?
I'd like to remind everybody that Tom is self-admitted at least 15% retard.
Yeah, we don't know who this cell phone guy is, Tom.
You know, Josh.
No, we don't, Tom.
Who is Josh, Tom?
Josh Wilkerson, the cell phone shooter.
What is that?
What is a cell phone shooter?
He shoots cell phones.
He shoots
cell phones.
Charlie, can you help us
here? Yeah, unfortunately I can. When you were doing a portable phone destruction one time,
yeah,
this guy shot his cell phone with a gun.
What does he have to do with your underwear?
He's going to be coming down and...
Now Lisa's coming in.
Lisa. Hi, guys. I got a phone call today, and it said, "Hi, this is Tom's Underwear." And I said, "Hey, Tom's Underwear, how you doing?" "Good. I just wanted to call and let you blah, blah, blah." I said, "You know what? Why don't you call later and try and get through unscreened? I think that would be funny. The guys would appreciate that. Call me later."
So are the guys calling pretending to be Tom's Underwear?
Yeah, he's speaking as Tom's Underwear to tell us how long it's been since Tom's taken a shower. And then Tom called, and Tom told me who it was, but no, Tom, he hasn't called back. And now I hope he doesn't call because the whole joke's ruined.
Right.
Gotcha. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you.
Tom?
Yeah?
Just stop thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, Tom, don't do anything until you come down here on Friday.
I mean, just Friday, we're finally doing a promotion with you, you goddamn monster. You've been screaming for attention. We're giving you attention now.
We're giving you what you've always wanted. We're giving you your own day here.
Yeah.
All the things that are going to be done to you are stuff you're going to like.
Yeah.
You're going to enjoy it. So you got to just stay off that phone. If you're going to call anybody, you call us.
Call Dynamite. Don't call the...
Don't call and don't even mention
Tom,
the name. Tom,
you can't say a-hole. I just had to delete you out. We're not allowed to say that word.
Okay.
And don't mention any other shows or any of that. Just don't do that.
Okay? Because, Tom, listen, even though you're 15% retarded, I'm going to try to explain it to you. I'll explain it to you now.
I'm 20%.
Okay, 20% retarded. I'm sorry. All right, then I'll speak a little slower. That other disc jockey who you're calling... He doesn't have any ratings.
No,
and he thinks,
the ratings.
Yes, and when you call him, he can somehow link himself to this show because you're on this show.
And we don't want that to happen.
No.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you, Tom. All right, see you Friday, you monster.
Let me have my promo.
Your promo?
He wants to hear his promo.
I won't play your promo until you can prove to me that you can make it through a day without calling another disc jockey.
Okay.
Call me tomorrow. I'll play it for you tomorrow if you're a good boy tomorrow.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye. There he goes. No need to say goodbye. 20%.
I'm sorry.
It keeps getting higher.
The stock has just gone up.
Absolutely.
Wait!
I'd like to go on record as saying I'm not sure he really knows.
I love John and Mike's show. Yeah, who knows? It could be. It could be in the 50s to 60s.
Yeah. Hello. Or that good old 100.
It could be the Microsoft.
You never know.
Of the retard stock market.
You never know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. You guys were talking yesterday about Homo Joe. He had cancer.
No, yeah. He doesn't have cancer.
Homo Joe has a tumor.
He called
us yesterday and announced it. We were taken back by the announcement.
He's having a biopsy, and he's freaked out. He's actually handling it real well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to, tell him, that it's okay, because when I was 14, I had to have brain surgery because I had a tumor removed.
And you survived.
And I was totally fine. That's good.
And listen to her now. She sounds perfect now.
What?
Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
What?
We're all set.
Joe should feel better now.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, I'm a police officer here in Northern Virginia. I was listening to you guys talk about flashing headlights earlier. I thought I would pull out my Virginia Criminal and Traffic Law Manual and give you the straight scoop.
All right, this is a way to end this debate once and for all. Is it illegal, if you drive by a speed trap, is it against the law to flash your high beam, to turn your lights on and off, to let people know that there are cops there?
Well, here's the thing. This is what Virginia says. Now, every jurisdiction could be different, mm-hmm. and local jurisdictions could have a law against it, so, it may be okay in some places, but in Virginia, it says you cannot use your high beams. This is 46.2-1034. You can't use your high beams when there's a car approaching within 500 feet or you're following a car within 200 feet. You can't turn your high beams on at all, it says.
You mean a cop... So then, in theory, at least in the state of Virginia, a cop could pull you over for flashing your high beams to let people know that there's a speed trap.
Yep, for failing to dim your headlights within 500 feet of an oncoming vehicle.
But 500 feet's not very far. So outside of that, you'd be okay, right?
I guess you would.
You're hanging on, aren't you, on this one?
I know it's true.
You're talking to a cop. He's in the law
that.
Book.
There. I know. But,
So if you see somebody warning... I'm going to ask the officer here. You see somebody warning somebody that there's a speed trap, and you're coming in the other way. You could hang a U-turn and pull the guy over and use that statute to give him a ticket.
Yeah, you could, but to be honest, most cops don't really mind that because we're out there to try to get people to slow down, and if you flash your headlights, everybody slows down, so it's working without me having to get out and work.
Well, then why are people getting tickets for doing that?
Well, some cops may feel otherwise, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
Buzz, I don't think you're totally wrong on that.
No, I don't think so. 500 feet is a very short distance.
But I think I'm mostly right.
To technicality.
That's right.
All right, I'm reading between the lines. You just said you think Buzz is right, but you also said you think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's like the law. Mm-hmm. It's like the wonderful blue arm of the law. There's a lot of gray there, and there's a lot of, either way. It sounds to me what that cop said is if a cop wants to pull you over for that, he can do it. He can give you a ticket.
Mm-hmm. It's like Beatrice Arthur's pubes.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of gray there.
Lots of gray. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
There's lots of gray, and if you're not careful, you'll put your eye out.
Hello.
Hi. Have you heard the latest on the waitress?
Well, you mean the girl from Chicago?
Right.
The girl who got the $10,000 tip?
She got the $10,000 check today, and now Playboy wants her to pose.
Yeah, I saw her on the Today Show a couple of days ago. Is she a hottie? No, she's not that hot. She announced that... let me just say this. She's a typical-looking Chicago woman. Okay.
Right.
Bad perm.
Yeah.
Big
boned.
Big burthen hips and bad pockmarked skin.
Burthen.
Looks like she knows what to do with a kielbasa.
Ah. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Girls like that try harder in bed because they're not real good looking.
Good.
When she was on the Today Show a couple of days ago, they asked her about that, and she said that they had called her on Monday, and her answer was no.
Mm-hmm.
She would not pose nude in Playboy.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, though.
How long?
Thank you.
What about old Darva? Larva Conger. Is
Darva.
Is she ever going to be in Playboy?
I think next month's issue, as a matter of fact. That's a done deal.
Excellent.
Darva Conger. Darva. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if you filled all the positions for the Survivor show?
Oh, you know what? We have it, and we got to go to the phones and do that.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, because the show is rapidly running out of time, what with the engineers being pulled over by the cops and everything today. And
quite a bit going on today.
Our radio drama. We've eaten up almost all the time in the show.
Would it be possible if I could join in and do that?
I don't see why that would not be a possibility. We of course, encourage girls to call to be part of this.
I'm a lesbian, too.
A lesbian? Oh, yeah. I don't think we have
have a lesbian, do we?
Really?
No, we don't. What's your name, honey?
My name's Jen.
Jen, where are you from?
I am from Arlington.
This is not that that lesbian in the jean jacket, is it?
No, I don't have a jean jacket. I have a truck, though.
What is that lesbian's name? She's
Anne, the
militant lesbian.
This is Jen, who don't like men.
That's right.
Jen, how old are you?
It's bad for me to be in there with him.
How old are you, Jen?
24.
And how would you feel about shampooing Tom Gavin's hair?
I could shampoo Tom Gavin's hair.
How would you feel about cleaning his feet?
Well, it'd be pretty gross, but I think I could do it.
Excellent. Mm.
That's the right answer. Do you have any survival training?
Not really, but I think I could probably pull it off.
All right, honey. All right. That's good, Jen. And Jen, if you come down here when we ask you those questions, don't pause for that long.
I won't.
It's live radio.
All right, hold on, please, gotcha. Jen. Hold on. You know, as long as Jen's there, are you keeping a running track on this? Or?
I did yesterday, but I think Charlie's got the guys from yesterday. I did, and I'm keeping them on a daily basis. I don't have the contestants from yesterday. I think we had five or six yesterday.
What's the number back there, Robbie? Is 462?
Yes. Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Tammy.
Oh, hi, Tammy. It's Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike. How are you?
I called the wrong number.
Oh, okay.
How's your new designed office going?
I love it.
I'd love to sexually harass you, but I can't right now because of CBS policy.
Hey, but that was last month. It's a new month right now.
There you go. That's the attitude.
Thank you, Tammy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Her phone number is 462, and your phone number is 467?
The one down here.
Yeah, right.
If you dial my other one, it would forward there to 467. So if you dial 859, it may seem confusing, but you get me at 467.
And anybody at home?
462.
At home, if you ever want to call Charlie, just use any of these numbers that we're throwing out.
That's right.
Just dial 859-467-462. Right.
Just three digits, not 10.
539.
Good. 539.
Charlie, how many people do we have? We have eight thus far, so we only have one team of survivors.
As I said, five or six.
So we need eight more people. If you want to come down on Friday, now you have to make the commitment to be here for all 4 hours of the show, starting at exactly 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
You're going to be in that office alone with Tom Gavin and, 16 other people, 15 other people.
And you're going to have to go through all kinds of games and contests. And
all stuff that's designed to make Tom feel good.
And every 15 minutes, the Tribunal Council will get together, and they will vote somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let people listening to the show call in at some point to vote somebody out.
Excellent.
The last person left gets a free vacation to Santa Barbara, California.
Now, are we going
to
do it like the real Survivor will at the very end, the last two people that are left?
Everybody else
going to vote who
will
the
vote
winner
on them.
Okay.
The exact same format.
Excellent.
Except, of course, our show is based, Can You Survive 4 Hours with Tom the Monster?
And in a way, you know, it's going to be down to two people, and the person that's left will have endured the longest period of time with Tom.
So if you are interested, and you got to make the commitment 4 hours on Friday, because let's face it, if you're going to win, you're going to have to spend 4 hours with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Call us right now. We'll get our second team of eight people right now, 877-365-3636. Take your calls right after this.
It's where opinions are like cowboy hats.
Acting.
The Don and Mike Show.
The great actor, Brett Favre.
You know he's a tree, man.
We'll have the story about Superman having sex with Lois Lane in a second.
Right.
And also, I don't know if we're going to redo the Ahern's radio drama later in the show, but
it's certainly worth redoing.
We had a great episode today of our continuing radio drama. Mm-hmm. And if we have time, we'll do it again for you.
I think it's a wonderful treat for the people on the way home.
We won't play a tape. We'll actually come back, like do a late night performance of it.
Absolutely.
You.
It's like, two shows daily.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, yo, first of all, I'm calling from Englewood, New Jersey. I wanted to catch the secret sound. Am I too late? Someone from New York?
Yeah, everybody from New York. By the time you hear this tonight on WNEW, you will know that we've had a winner.
Oh, you did?
On Secret Sound number 3.
What was your...
Can I at least guess and try to get to the winner?
Yeah. What was your guess?
What was it, a microwave door?
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It was the sound. It was,
That's right.
No, sorry.
Oh, we're sorry.
It was the sound of a phone jack being plugged into a wall.
Oh, okay.
And we want to congratulate Matt Marks from Virginia, who won $500. Brand new secret sound on tomorrow's episode.
Oh, that sounds cool. Yo, who's homegirl who picked up the phone? She sound kind of hot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that must have been two.
Toya.
Yeah, she kind of sound kind of hot there, you know?
Yeah, we got like a big Oreo cookie back there.
Oh, snap. I like Oreo cookies.
Yeah, we got Toya. We got Lisa.
The double fudge or single fudge?
whatever you want it to be.
Oh.
All right.
You guys are doing a great job. And, you know, when y'all come, is Toya coming to New York? Because I'm only 5 miles away from New York.
Listen, you don't really like us.
Oh,
you
I
just
do like
you guys,
Toya. But, you know, y'all ain't got the hot voice like her.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, perhaps we'll bring her up there. If you promise that you can get all of your friends to listen.
Oh, that's a guarantee.
Then yes, we'll bring Toya. And the one thing she won't do, though, is she does not swallow.
Oh, well, that's not a problem, because I do.
All right. Goodbye.
I don't know about that.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello? Yeah, it's Bruce. How you doing?
Yeah, Bruce, wait, are you in an echo chamber or your bathroom or something?
I'm in a house.
Are you in an empty house, Bruce?
I'm in, well, there's furniture here.
Sounded a little echoey there.
I'm on a cell phone in a house.
Are you calling for the Survivor game?
Yes, I am.
Now, the echo seems to have mysteriously vanished. Bruce, I want you to tell us the truth. Where were you when you first started talking to us?
I was in my kitchen coming out to my living room. So I don't know. I mean,
go back into the kitchen.
Okay, I'm in the kitchen.
I was gonna give this guy the buzz sound, you know, right. I mean this. But, you know what I think? I think we do need a couple of creepy guys.
Yes.
Because all of the people on Survivor, that's part of the charm of the real Survivor. That
yeah, they can't all be popular.
There have to be a couple of creeps.
That's right.
A couple of creeps. Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
So listen,
I'll be the creepy guy.
I think you are the creepy guy.
I am the creepy guy. Okay.
What is your name again?
My name is Bruce.
And Bruce, where are you from?
Centerville, Virginia.
Can you devote the entire afternoon on Friday?
Yes, I can.
Beautiful. How do you feel about kneading Tom's buttocks?
Kneading Tom's buttocks?
Yes, giving him an all-over body massage, and part of that would involve working on his glutes.
That's fine.
All right, hold on, please.
Okay.
That's Bruce, who's going to be one of the creepy guys.
Good, yes. Following Jen the Lesbian, it's Bruce the Creepy Guy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, you calling for the Survivor?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, what's your name?
My name's Chris.
Chris, you realize what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. I'm bringing my oil for the butt massage.
Okay, now it's 4 hours in a room in very close contact with Tom Gavin, who's not bathed. Who has not brushed his teeth all week. He is a friggin' monster.
How old are you, Chris?
33.
And there will be various tasks and games that each team will have to perform.
Okay.
Including...
All I get to say is, release the Gavin!
Including feeding Tom, washing Tom, dancing with Tom.
Is that like a Clash of the Titans reference right there?
I'm ready to go. Just bring him on.
All right, bring him on. Thank you. You're in, Chris. Hold on, please.
All right.
Hold on.
That's
so
Chris.
That
we didn't know whether he had any survival training at all, but he is he's just Chris. He doesn't fit in any particular category.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hola. Who is this?
This is Mike.
Hi, Mike. Where are you from?
I'm from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Right now I'm in Ocean City, but I'm going to come back for it.
Oh, you mean you make the drive back to D.C. from Ocean City for this?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great. Do you have any survival training?
No, but I think I can handle Tom Gavin. I'm about 5'11", 200 pounds. So I definitely know I can handle whatever's dished out. Plus, I do plumbing and steam fitting.
Plumbing and steam fitting. Okay. If he does plumbing, he's fit for Tom Gavin.
All right, my friend. As long as you know what you're getting into.
Oh, yeah, I know what I'm getting into.
All right, beautiful. Then hold on. We'll see you on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
None of these
people
know.
And I'll tell you,
know.
Right now, it's terrific. With any large group of people, it's always good to have a plumber.
Hello,
Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Matt.
Matt, where are you calling from?
Baltimore.
Are you calling for the Survivor game, too?
Sure am.
Really? Do you have any training?
I can use a Mr. Happy on Tom's butt.
A Mr. Happy?
There's little massagers.
You know, it seems to me an individual to go right for the butt without it being solicited.
But again, I want to say that we're going to need a couple of jerks.
Mm-hmm.
That all 16 people can't be real likable, friendly people.
I can be very creepy.
Well, no, I don't think you have to try. I mean, that's my whole point. I think we got another creepy, germy guy on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
This is Matt?
Yeah.
Matt, do you have any survival training?
Oh, well, I'm a special ed teacher, and that takes some survival there.
All right, that's good. That's good.
And this is probably the guy who's probably really the best trained.
I think that'd be perfect.
To deal with Tom.
All right.
All right, Matt, you're in. Hold on, please.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Now, that gives us a total of how many?
Well, Charlie said that we had, what, nine?
Nine, and the girl who called.
We have a total of 14 now.
Okay, so we have only four slots, two slots? How many do we have now?
Well, we had eight to begin with.
Okay, so we have a total of 13.
Right.
We need three more, right, to make the two.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Charlie Broyle.
Part for us.
Well,
it was a very weak effort.
I know it
was.
Yeah,
for somebody who passes as much gas as you do, I would expect a few better ones.
I'm sorry.
That fart, weak as it is, sponsored by the best cigars on the planet, Egars. .com.
And I will tell you, that microphone ought to be discarded.
I have had so many SBDs today.
Have you really?
Yeah. None of them have had any amplification at all.
And Charlie, are you wearing some kind of perfume? Are you wearing some kind of parfum today?
Are you?
What are you wearing?
That's the scent of my ass.
No, it's not. No, I guarantee you it's not.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike. This is Damien.
Yeah, hey, Damien.
Yeah, I wanted to get on the Survivor Challenge.
It's good to have one guy named Damien.
Is that your real name?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Damien, where are you from?
Arlington.
Have you heard Tom on the show?
He sounds like a monster. You're right, definitely. Yeah. But I think I might be up for the challenge.
Not that he sounds like a monster. I mean, he is a monster.
He is a monster.
Damien, can I ask you, have you ever been possessed by the devil?
No, sir.
Damien, how would you feel if you had to slow dance with Tom Gavin?
I'd rather do it with a woman, but, I mean, if that's what it takes, sure.
Yeah, you could be given any one of those tasks, and one of them is slow dancing with Tom.
I think I'm up for it.
Hmm. All right. We'll see you Friday.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hold on a second, please. So that means we need now four more?
Two more, I think.
Two more? I thought he just said we needed five more.
Oh, really?
You know,
we had 13 more, and that was another one, so we just need two more now.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking 18 instead of 16.
No, 16, two teams of eight.
Right, so we just need two more people.
Two more people.
Two more. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes, sorry. I was
Radio guys.
Slowing the show down. Sorry. who is this?
This is Mike.
Mike, where are you from?
I'm from Fairfax.
We already have a Mike who's a plumber. I mean, it's up to you. We already have a Mike.
But I'm Mike who's not a plumber.
What do you do, Mike?
I'm actually a teacher as well.
Another teacher.
What grade?
7th and 8th grade. The really scary ones.
That's a little advanced for Tom.
So, listen, I think a wide variety of people from all walks of life is fine. I don't care if he's named Mike or not.
All right, Mike is a teacher.
I would go by Miguel.
Miguel, yes.
Very good.
You've heard Tom on the show before?
I'm ready to make Tom Gavin. He can make me his bitch.
Okay.
Hey, that's the right attitude.
Be careful what you ask for.
Fantastic.
All right, you're in. Hold on, please.
Excellent.
And that means the next call we take will be...
the last one.
The final contestant.
The final contestant for the Tom Gavin Survivor Challenge.
But I sure do hope that these people don't back out at the last minute.
No.
I mean, all these people who are calling really have to make the commitment to be here Friday.
I agree.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you. Who's this?
This is Justin from Maryland.
Yes, are you in on the contest?
I am in on it. I'm the fireman. I'm well-trained. I'm
a fireman.
We have a plumber and a fireman. We're all set to go.
We got a plumber, a fireman, a lesbian.
A special ed teacher, a creepy guy, a guy that was possessed by the devil.
Mike, right. I've just been told by Robbie that we need one more after this guy.
Why?
I don't know.
Somebody dropped out.
Somebody's already dropped out.
One
of the people that called today dropped out?
I have to assume so. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, the message gets passed to him, with no information, since it comes from Charlie Roy.
I hope it wasn't Jen the lesbian. I really hope it wasn't Jen the lesbian.
No, I think it was a guy. She said a guy dropped out.
Well, listen, you're in, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
You're in. Beautiful. And what was your name again?
Justin,
okay. Thank you.
Justin, the fireman.
We need one more, and this is it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, I'm trying to reach Michael Miro.
It's a personal call, Mike.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, excuse sorry. Me. I take personal calls in the office. Call me after the show. I'll be in my office.
Okay,
thanks. Thanks so much.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to be the last guy or the alternate guy for the Survivor.
You got to be at least 21.
I'm 29.
29. What is your name, my friend?
I'm Brad.
Brad, where are you?
I just moved down here and turning into a big fan of you guys.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Brad, have you heard Tom on the show?
Only briefly.
Brad, do you have a big brain?
Yeah, check out the big brain on Brad.
Excellent.
Hey, he's okay.
He got exactly what you were saying.
Got the joke. Very good.
All right, Brad, I just want to tell you something. As a new listener, we are not exaggerating when we tell you that Tom Gavin is a freaking sweaty monster.
I sell car stereo for a living, so I think I can handle it.
Okay, that's good. He's got all the right answers.
Car stereo, you know, Brad.
Okay, you're in, Brad.
All right.
Hold on, we'll see you Friday.
Thanks.
And that completes the lineup for Friday's Tom Gavin Survivor Show.
I think we have a very well-balanced group, Don.
Is someone going to bring us a list so we know exactly who's playing and what their occupations are?
I know today we have Jen the Lesbian, Bruce the Creepy Guy, Chris, who is Chris, Mike the Plumber, Matt the Special Ed Teacher, Damien, Miguel, Justin, and Brad. Justin's the fireman. Miguel is the teacher.
It's a good group.
And Brad with the big brain.
It's a good group. And the group we had yesterday,
yep,
even though the information's not in front of us now, I think was equally good.
Yep. You know, with all the backbiting and backstabbing that will go on Friday's show, I think they'll all be big friends.
Yes, we will have open mics in the conference room.
Good.
The entire show Friday will be based on the third floor in the Don and Mike CBS building.
Mm-hmm.
We will find out which of these 16 people has the nads to spend 4 hours up close and personal with Tom the Monster.
And here's somebody I don't think we've mentioned, though, but everybody, as hard as it may be, you have to be nice to Tom.
Yes, that's right.
You have to be wonderful to Tom.
That's right. And it might involve maybe kissing Tom's head.
Absolutely.
Could happen.
You gotta be nice to him the whole time. You know, this is not a Tom bashing thing. This is just tolerating Tom.
Right. Liking Tom.
Liking him, right.
Even loving him.
Pampering him.
I agree, Don.
Loving him.
You have to love Tom.
Not tolerating, not right. Liking. You must love Tom Gavin.
Everybody that's in this challenge, I think that should be part of the deal. We have to. Will you love Tom today? And they have to say yes.
And we got to get him a sign to throw around his neck that says, love me.
Love me.
Love me.
Absolutely.
Love the monster.
Absolutely. For a day, he will be loved.
Please do not feed the monster. All right. Unless we ask you to, of course, right, for the Survivor Contest. There's your 16 people. They'll be here on Friday. You'll hear it all. And we'll be taking digital pictures and putting them up on the web.
Absolutely.
So you can see everything. A quick break. Please indulge us. We will be right back.
It's the lay of the land, my friend. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Great. Y'all need extra people. Y'all really do, because some of them people are going to chicken out, and I'm your man right here.
For the Survivor thing, I couldn't agree more. Let us wait until tomorrow's episode. We always call people up and give them the chance to tell us they can't come down. Tomorrow, we will get some alternates.
See, but why wait until now? You have a perfect person right here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, listen, if you're the perfect person, then it'll be right tomorrow.
But I don't want to wait until tomorrow. I want to get my bid in now. That way I won't have to worry about it.
I don't want to wait until tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any survival training?
No, truthfully, I'm a truck driver, so I think I'm more than qualified to deal with stinky people.
See, if we... that is not a bad argument, but if we take one extra person now, we got to take other extra people. Please just wait till tomorrow. We have 16 people already.
All right.
16 beautiful people. John, Craig, Jules, Eddie, James, April, Broderick, Rob, Jen, Bruce, Chris, Mike, Damien, Mike, Brad, and Justin. That is the list of 16. I don't have their occupations. I just got their name.
That's the Sweet 16.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
All right.
No
thank
problem.
You. Try tomorrow.
I definitely will.
All right. Thank you. We do appreciate it. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Don and Mike. I was calling because I wanted to see if you guys would be interested in updates from the road. My friend Lori and I are driving across country this summer in August.
Are you hotties?
Well, Lori K is definitely a hottie. Okay, though.
Are you whores?
No.
Are you going to have all sorts of sexual romps as you go, across Route 66?
We might. You never know.
We'd only like to hear from you if it's the Fallacial Express.
We're going to go through Las Vegas and the Grand Canyon and Santa Fe.
We only want to hear about your Grand Canyon. Yes, if you would like to sleep your way across America.
Yes, just to have a special something about, not just traveling across the country.
That's true.
I mean, who cares about that? That's boring. But if you girls want to, if you want to stop in cities and party and meet guys and call us and tell us about it, well, sure.
So we should call you from the party.
Well, how long is your trip planned? How long are you spending crossing the country?
We're leaving on the 3rd of August and getting into D.C. on the 17th.
So where are you coming here from?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, so that is a long drive.
Yeah. And I cannot even tell you how psyched I was when I found out you guys were in Portland, Oregon, because I used to live in D.C. and I listened to you all the time there.
Mm. Oh, come on. You sound like a bad girl.
I bet you could be a bad girl.
I bet you could do enough. You and your girlfriend could be the sodomy sisters. And you could call
us. Oh, I don't know how she's going to feel about that.
She might feel the same way about that as you do. You know? She might not like that idea.
But remember, sodomy...
can be any type of sexual activity.
Doesn't necessarily mean stabbing in the ass.
Right.
Sodomy can mean just about anything.
Absolutely. And it sounds like a relative...
to party it up. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Don and Mike.
Bye, honey.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's fantastic. The Sodomy Sisters will be going across the country.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Don and Mike. On radio guys.
Route 69.
Hey, we're on Route 69 again.
Hello.
Radio guys.
Hi there.
Hey, it's Mike the TV boy.
Mike the TV boy. How come you don't have one of your wacky tapes?
Well, I actually have one of my my original comedy sketch, as Ahern's like to call it. Name that TV icon.
Oh, all right. You want to play, Mike?
Ah, fantastic. Yes. All right, always very exciting.
Here we go. The first one.
When I was growing up, I used to dance around the den by myself to Good Golly Miss Molly.
Boy, that's tough.
Christ, that's tough. Can we hear it again?
Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, I used to dance around the den by myself to Good Golly Miss Molly.
That is so generic. It's very tough to identify the voice. Hint, please.
Funny videos.
Hold on a second. Charlie
Bob
Broyhill.
Saget.
Yeah. I'll just say it's that guy you hate.
Bob Saget.
Bob Saget. Bob Faggot.
Bob Saget.
Okay.
Saget.
Let's hear it again. Let's hear another one, please.
All right. Number two.
The camera, not frequency.
That is Jennifer Tilly.
Can I hear it again, please?
The camera, not frequency.
Damn, that's impossible. Charlie, you got it?
I think it's that old lady from Poltergeist, that little short midget lady.
Name, please.
I don't know her name.
Oh, who knows her name?
Well, nobody knows her name.
All right, it's Zelda Rubenstein, but...
All right, you're right, Charlie.
There's evil in this house.
Number three.
Carol Ann. Stay away from the light.
The camera, not frequency.
Okay, let's hear the next one.
Daddy, you are so pathetic.
Is that Ted Knight?
Daddy, you are so pathetic.
Man, these are tough.
Is that Al Molinaro?
Buzz, you're the only one with a chance.
I don't know. I can't recognize.
Who is it, Mike?
One more time. You want to hear it? I know you guys know this.
All right.
Daddy, you are so pathetic.
God, we suck at this game.
Daddy, you are so pathetic. I'm trying to think of the line.
Who is it?
He'll be over there if you need him.
Is that... that's Larry King?
That's Ed McMahon?
Ed McMahon.
Wow. Ed, let me hear it again.
Daddy, you are so pathetic.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah. I tell you, you found the most un-Ed McMahon-sounding Ed McMahon.
All right, let's hear another one.
Here we go.
Talking about not shaving, I didn't shower, as I said, for like a week.
God, these are impossible.
Tough.
Let's hear it again.
Talking about not shaving, I didn't shower, as I said, for like a week.
I have absolutely no idea.
Big zero. Who is it?
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, you're taking... These are tough.
Obscure. That's Jeff Goldblum not sounding like Jeff Goldblum.
Absolutely.
Right, one more, Mike.
All right, one more. I got to pick a good one. All right, one that's fitting for today with the Tom Gavin theme.
Okay.
Peter Boyle.
I'm going to give that one to you. You said it first.
Goodbye.
Yes.
Tie goes to the runner. Whatever. Hello, Don and Mike. Those are tough.
Very. Those are very tough.
Hello.
Especially Ed McMahon.
Yeah, from Arlington. How are you, folks?
Yes. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Wondering, Don, especially you, since I know you're a big movie buff, did you see in the paper today the 100 supposedly best comedy films?
Listen, I've got the list right here. Buzz,
isn't it horrible?
Buzz gave it to me at the beginning of the show.
Stripes isn't on it.
Listen, there's a million great movies that did not make this list.
I didn't see that show. I just saw Drew Barrymore hosting a segment of it, and I flipped by it, and I immediately ran away.
Yeah. You tell me what homo came up with this list. The two funniest movies of all time.
This is number one and two?
Both have guys dressing in drag. According to the American Film Institute...
Charlie Stossel?
The funniest movie of all time is Some Like It Hot.
No!
The second funniest...
No.
According to them, the second funniest movie of all time... is Tootsie.
Oh, Jesus. I just watched Tootsie because it's on cable again. Oh, come on.
The third funniest movie of all time is Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Dr. Strangelove with Peter Sellers, right? That's Peter
right.
Sellers? I've never seen that movie. I understand it's a, you know, it's a popular movie to go on lists as funny movies go.
Number four, Annie Hall.
Annie Hall.
I don't think so.
Funny, but not
right.
not
the fourth funniest movie of all
no.
time.
No, my God, they're ignoring the two funniest movies ever made.
Number five, Duck Soup.
Marx Brothers.
Yeah, the freaking right. Marx
oh,
Brothers.
Is one of those jive-ass lists.
Number six is the only one in the entire... Well, no, there's two in the top ten that are funny. Number six, Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles, funny movie. I still don't think it's top ten.
Seven, MASH.
The original MASH was...
Not the seventh funniest movie
no,
of all time.
No, I mean, there are lots of other movies you can put in front of it.
Number eight, It Happened One Night, which was made in 1934.
A comedy?
I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, The Graduate. Now, is The Graduate a comedy?
No. It's got comedic moments, but it's not
a right. comedy.
No, it's a comedy much like that other one that you mentioned right there, which is not really a comedy.
And number 10, which is funny, but I don't know if it's the 10th funniest movie of all time, is Airplane.
I don't think so.
Okay, then
where's Animal House?
Hey, Mike, what number do you think Animal House is?
I would put Animal House as number one.
So would I. But what number do you think?
Hold on, let me look at the list. Hold on. Hold on, let me look.
Okay,
wait a minute.
I won't say anything.
Animal House. Hold on, I'm looking. Is it on the list?
Yes, it is.
Animal House. I don't see it. What's the number?
I think it's 36.
36.
That's right.
No, oh, that's right, because it's under National Lampoon.
Mm-hmm. You don't put Animal House
on
the
list. Oh, listen to this. Are you ready for this? Here's a movie that they consider to be funnier than Animal House. At number 34, Groundhog Day.
Right. And Stripes isn't even on there.
And they got
Groundhog.
I mean, Groundhog Day.
Also funnier than Animal House on this list. Spinal Tap. Please. When Harry Met Sally.
Okay, see, these aren't classic comedy. They're not talking about classic comedy.
Singing in the Rain.
Oh. That's a musical. It's not a comedy.
It's the 16th funniest movie of all time.
Oh. Well, I'd love
to
know.
The Philadelphia Story.
That's like the Katharine Hepburn movie?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
As I go through this list...
I didn't know it was this bad. I knew it was a bad list. I didn't know it was this pathetic.
The only thing that...
Where's Arthur?
Arthur, hold on a second. Arthur is number 53. Arthur is beaten by Cat Ballou.
Cat Ballou, funny movie, but not that funny.
Arthur is beaten by Shampoo with Warren Beatty, which is the 47th funniest movie of all time.
One good line in that whole movie,
did
Shampoo.
Did Frank Ahearns put together this list? I'm curious.
The only decent movie that's maybe even in the top 30 is There's Something About Mary, which is number 27.
What about Young Frankenstein?
Oh, no, that's funny.
That's a good movie. That should be in the top 10.
That's number 13.
That's close to being legit.
Right.
Caddyshack did make it at number 71.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
Caddyshack gets beaten by Mrs. Doubtfire.
You're kidding me.
This is a pretty effort.
What is the deal with women in drag? Well, I think we understand. I think we completely understand.
That's exactly what I pointed out.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ. Let me see. I'll give you some more bad ones. Okay? The 74th funniest movie of all time is 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton.
I think I'm getting a very clear picture of this list.
The 82nd funniest movie of all time is Private Benjamin.
Private Benjamin?
Which sucked. Which beat out Private Benjamin, according to this list, is funnier than Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Beetlejuice, The Jerk, and Fargo. However,
Fargo, though, I loved Fargo. I don't put...
However...
What are you doing there, sir?
Actually, I was spinning salad. I'm sorry.
However, let me tell you this. All those movies I just named, Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
right.
Beetlejuice, The Jerk, and Fargo, they rated City Slickers funnier than all of those movies.
Oh, my God. Somebody loves Billy Crystal.
Unbelievable.
Somebody really loves Billy Crystal.
And Woody Allen films.
Yes, Woody Allen is all over this thing. Mm-hmm. Good Morning Vietnam is the 100th funniest movie of all time.
Well, they're bringing up the rear.
Let me see. Silver Streak, number 95. Let me give you some more bad ones.
Is here. High Anxiety on the list?
No. Victor Victoria, number 76.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? You know what the deal is? There's not a movie with a man dressed or a woman dressed as a man or a man dressed as a woman that's not on that list.
I know. Well,
they didn't put the Birdcage on there.
That's the, and the Birdcage
is a funny movie.
It's funnier than Some
right.
Like It Hot.
Right. Jesus Christ. And Charlie just went on Amazon.com and looked up the movie The Graduate.
Right.
And it says genre, drama,
right.
Romance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yet they have The Graduate as the ninth funniest movie of all time.
You know, The Birdcage is not on the list, and that is ridiculous. With all those movies, all those drag movies, and the funniest drag movie I think I've ever seen is The Birdcage.
Well, right? this movie is just absolutely wrong, 100 times wrong.
Worst list ever.
A million times wrong.
You know, that is truly amazing. That is truly amazing.
They have the movie Big with Tom Hanks is the 42nd funniest movie of all time. Big is number 42.
Do you know something?
And Arthur is number 53.
The movies that they're putting on the list, I mean, there are funny moments. The Graduate
but they're not
has
comedies.
Funny movies.
Right.
Big has funny moments in it.
And there's all this crap like His Girl Friday, 1940. That's number 19. The 18th funniest movie of all time is from 1927, a movie called The General.
That's Charlie Chaplin.
Yes,
right.
You guys think Charlie Chaplin was funny?
No,
not at all.
Charlie Chaplin can suck my nut. Charlie Chaplin.
You're right, Rob. I mean, if you're a connoisseur of that type of stuff, even in that genre, if you like that kind of stuff, Buster Keaton funnier than Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah. What I want to know is who did Billy Crystal blow? Because
right.
When Harry Met Sally and City Slickers mm-hmm. are both on this list.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And those movies are not funny.
When Harry Met Sally.
Saturday Night?
Yeah, Mr. Saturday Night.
There you go. Oh, that's amazing.
Well, what would you guys say are your top three?
You know what? And I went through this with my wife today.
It's easy
impossible.
For me.
You know, you come up with so many. I said, well, I looked at my list of DVDs that I have. Mm-hmm. Animal House is number one.
Number one.
Dumb and Dumber would have to be on my list.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Oh,
yeah. Something About Mary. You know, beyond that, I don't know.
I put Arthur, even with the Liza Minnelli factor, I would put Arthur up there. And you know something? Believe it or not, I would put 10 on the list.
Really?
I would put the movie 10.
I think it should be in the top 100.
Right. I think 10 should be fun, because 10 had funny moments in it.
I'll tell
what
you
about Stripes?
Stripes should be in the top 100. Absolutely.
I like Stripes.
Absolutely. Listen, if Groundhog Day is on the list,
it was funnier
Stripes
Groundhog
should be on the list. I mean, listen, if we're going to use this criteria, goddamn Uncle Buck with John Candy should be on this list.
And how about Cranes, Trains, and Automobiles?
That is a funny movie.
Caddyshack should definitely be in there.
I mean, just the scene, right. You know, the pillow scene alone.
And you know what? It's like Spinal Tap is number 29.
They are so rare that you get a great comedy. That's what was great about Something About Mary when it came along. It had been so long since there was a great one. It's not difficult to put together a list of great comedies because they're really very rare.
Oh, Jesus.
I put Young Frankenstein on there.
Yeah, no, that belongs on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have American Graffiti. Now, American Graffiti is not a comedy.
It's not.
It's
not a classic comedy.
There are some funny moments in American Graffiti.
Right.
It would be on my list of the top 100 movies of all time.
And, of course, anything by Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
Oh, God, please.
Jesus H. Christ.
Mr. Magoo,
you know,
I think.
And Spinal Tap is the most overrated piece of crap. You know, I think it's a funny concept, but
it's trendy to like Spinal Tap.
Right.
That's why it's on there. It's trendy to say Big because it was Penny Marshall's first big hit.
Spinal Tap is number 29, and Animal House is number 36.
You know, I'll give you an old movie, a really old movie.
And where's the Blues Brothers on this list?
Blues Brothers should be in there. I'll give you a really old movie that should be on there. Is The Odd Couple on there?
Yeah.
The original with Walter Matthau, which is slap nuts funny?
Number 17.
Okay, there you go. That belongs on the list.
What about Bachelor Party? You think that
goodbye.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Got a little too subjective there.
Goodbye, everybody. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, listen, the general was Buster Keaton, by the way.
Well, same difference. I don't care if it's Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, whoever. You know,
the general was Buster Keaton.
All those movies.
Where did Fast Times finish? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, please, listen to the show, please.
I'm sorry. I'm agitated about this list. Fast Times at Ridgemont High was 87.
And where's the,
87.
Where's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I was just wondering if The Road to Wellville's on that list.
No, and rightly not.
Oh, you don't like that one.
It had its moments, but it's not slap nuts funny.
Please, hello, Don.
Where's RoboCop?
Show?
Don.
Hello.
How you doing, Don?
Hi, we're doing great.
Do you know why I say RoboCop?
Oh,
do you remember Freddie Camp?
Freddie Camp.
This guy that we used to work with, Freddie Camp. I went to see RoboCop. Every time a guy got fried or killed, he'd laugh out loud.
But I mean, really, like he was watching some hilarious comedy.
It's one of the RoboCops. I'm not sure whether it's the sequel or the original.
No, it was the first one, because you saw it down in Memphis.
It starts out where the guy walks into a car, and he's going to break into a car, and they're doing an ad for an electrocution system, and the guy gets electrocuted when he's trying to steal this car. I thought Freddie Camp was going to fall out of the chair. He was laughing. I mean, he's going, just like that.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, Don, how you doing?
Hi, great.
Okay, I'm calling from New York. I called last week, so I don't want the Secret Santa. I'm not screwing around. I just want to wish you guys a happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
And I'm going scat fishing tomorrow. Thank Mr. Ahern.
Excellent.
I love that. Someone from New York who's throwing some hate Frank Ahern's
way. Way to go. Way to get the show.
Beautiful. Thank you. Hey, what's your name?
Eddie.
Where are you from, Eddie?
Ridgewood, Queens. I spoke to you last week. I told you to have a safe trip to New York because you came Thursday, Friday.
Beautiful. Got you. Thank you, Eddie.
And enjoy your Father's Day.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, I just wanted to let you know, about 3 months ago, Entertainment Weekly did their own list of the top 100 comedies of all time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Spinal Tap came in first.
Well, in Entertainment Weekly, what do you expect? Right. Like, that's not a real magazine.
It's trendy, too. It's trendy because they're connected. You know, it's like Kevin Bacon, Six Degrees of Separation with Kevin Bacon. You know, Spinal Tap is a movie that is just connected to a lot of people in the business, and it's trendy to say that that's the great
comedy. I dare you to have a party, even if you're serving booze, and you're shooting people up with free heroin.
Any Monty Python movies on there?
No.
No.
I dare you to do anything you can do to get people high, drunk, loaded, laid, put on Spinal Tap. Nobody laughs.
Yeah, none of the Python movies are American. And those are American.
Oh, they got to be American comedies? Okay, because, you know, you mentioned that. When you said go to a party, and the thing about the meaning of life, Monty Python, where you have Mr. Creosote and his whole chest explodes, if you put Monty Python on that movie, that particular movie, at a party, half the room will sit there and laugh, and half the room will leave the room. Right. I mean, not be able to even tolerate watching.
Right.
I'm a room leaver.
I don't like Monty.
I don't like Monty Python.
I've never had
one.
Hello.
On the bright side.
I will take Monty Python any day over Spinal Tap, though.
We need the machine that goes bing.
Hello.
Ferris Bueller. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Now, that should be on the top 100. However, Ferris Bueller, nothing with Matthew Broderick should ever receive any kind of certification.
It had its moments, though. You will admit that of all of his entire body of work, Ferris Bueller's a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, but I think it's funny because of the other guys. I think it's funny because of the guy who wears
Cameron.
The guy who wears the Red Wings jersey.
Yeah.
When the car goes out of the garage, that's flat nuts funny.
And it's funny because of Mr. Rooney, too. The guy who plays Rooney.
The principal, yeah.
Rooney!
This is Norman Peterson. I think Ferris Bueller should be on the list. Mm.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Maybe number 100. Hello?
And that's the Broderick factor.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Don and Mike, what about 48 Hours or Trading Places, something else with Eddie Murphy?
I think Trading Places could be on that list.
I think Nutty Professor, based on those scenes with...
yeah, not bad.
Almost could eke in there.
Yeah, that could be on there.
Jerry Lewis's Nutty Professor came in at 99.
Of course, because that's just like the Spinal Tap.
Right.
That's because you have to put Jerry on there. You don't have a hip list unless you have Woody Allen and Jerry Lewis and Spinal Tap.
King of comedy.
Yeah.
No, see, that's a funny movie, though. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, fat bastards?
Hey, you son of a bitch.
A Spinal Tap rules.
A Spinal Tap blows.
My friend that was at Stonehenge the other day, he called me and he told me he sang it out there.
Spinal Tap is not a funny movie, man.
There's a fine line between stupid and clever.
Everybody, you know, when you're talking about this, everybody does have an opinion.
Oh, yeah. Except I'm right about this. Spinal Tap is not funny. You laugh at Spinal Tap, you're an idiot. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
What about South Park?
Oh, please,
no, please.
All right,
no.
That's enough calls about this list.
There you go.
I think we can all agree, even though we all have favorite movies, this list suck.
I'd like to poll the room, though, and make sure. We all agreed. I believe Animal House should be number one.
Number one movie. That is the funniest movie of all time.
I still go back to and laugh out loud at Animal House.
Funniest ever. The funniest ever.
And I mean, if you're in Animal House is old enough now where there are people listening to us right now that have not seen it, and if you get a chance, go watch it. And it's really one of the best movies ever made.
And listen, where's Schindler's List?
Oh, stop it. Thanks, Ed. That's Ed. David Duke wrote that one.
That was a prompt.
Wrote that.
Okay, time out. We will be right back.
Offering the audio equivalent of manual release, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, now listen, we've got a couple of ways we can go here. I'm still waiting for my brother Jim to call, and he called when we had the cops pulling over our engineers a couple of hours ago, and we did not take his call. Was that Charlie Broyhill that was just here?
I believe Charlie Broyhill was sticking his needle nose into the studio.
Hey, Charlie, was my brother Jimmy going to call back today?
Here he is now.
Was Jimmy going to call back today? Or
I thought he was going to call back a couple hours ago. Oh, he called during As the World Ahearns.
Did he sound did he sound like he was, you know, the way he is sometimes when we don't get to him right away?
No. He was just, cool? Yeah, he was sitting back waiting for his truck to be loaded.
Okay, well then I guess I won't wait for him to call today. Then I've still got this whole Superman thing, which is just, it's like 8 pages, and I don't want to gloss over it, because it has real facts about what would happen if Superman banged Lois Lane.
real facts.
So maybe I'll hold on to that for tomorrow. Also, we have something from the station in Spokane that we're on, KFAN. Now listen to this. This is ridiculous. In an effort to make the Don and Mike Show bigger and better, 790 KFAN would like to begin brewing Don and Mike beer.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rob.
Hold on a second.
I just like the concept.
I know, but we've had an argument with radio stations all over our network saying, don't involve us in cheap-ass stuff.
Uh-huh. Brought up a while back.
This was brought up a while ago.
And I think either you or somebody had the point that, you know, our names are on that beer. Somebody goes out and wraps their
right. If they wrap their car around a telephone pole.
Yeah, but I mean, it was good enough for August Bush.
So we went back to the radio station and said exactly that we don't want to have our name associated with the beer. You know, because then the next thing you know, you got Mothers Against Drunk Driving coming down and petitioning against your radio station.
How about Don and Mike root beer?
And we pointed out also that, listen, why should we put our names on a beer that some bar is going to sell, and we're not going to see anything from
it? I agree.
Right. So, this is what KFAN has come back to us with.
All right.
Okay? They have a brewery that would be the exclusive distribution center and proud vendor of the soon-to-be-famous Don and Mike beer.
Is it going to be a light beer?
KFAN will pay Don and Mike a royalty on the sale of the beer. After all expenses, the brewery makes a net profit of 6 cents per beer. This net profit would be split in half with Don and Mike.
That sounds legitimate.
But wait a minute. They're talking about...
I mean, I would think that the profit on a can of beer would be something a little bit more.
Oh, I would think that it would be astronomically more.
We can find that out. We can find all that
stuff.
But
also, it's a microbrewery, so they're not going to be able to have it on this huge scale. And also, it doesn't sound like they're going to bottle it.
What they are saying, though,
it's going to be
draft?
Yeah, by the glass.
Oh, no. The bottom line on this is that net profit of 6 cents per glass of beer. They split that in half,
so we make
meaning
3 cents?
That you and I make 1.5 cents for every glass of beer that is sold.
Wow. And if it's not going to be like where you sell cases of it or you have bottles of it.
No, it doesn't sound like
it's
going to
be like in kegs.
No,
well,
no.
That sucks. Screw that.
No, it's cheese. It's cheese dick all the way.
But maybe they could send us some beer anyway.
I mean, we
can
rob
him. Always trying. If it's beer, he wants it.
You know, this is the kind of stuff that we try to shield ourselves from.
And you know something? If it's bottles of beer, at least there's a novel novelty product there. You know, with a label and everything.
Yeah,
else.
Like Billy Beer or something like that.
But if they're not going to be, if it's going to be in kegs and it's going to be on some kind of tap at a micro, is it from a bar?
Yeah, I'm not mentioning specifically the brewery,
but it's not. It's
like a place in
a brew pub.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
And what it is really, it's just a way to get our name involved to get people to come down and go to this place. You know.
Thank you, Nub.
Please.
Jesus Christ.
Just run the show.
Right.
Just run the show and sell your commercials.
Sounds awfully slick. Sounds like we're being screwed.
Sure does. Gee, 1.5 cents on every glass of beer sold. Wow. Grand deal.
You know, now I thought we were talking about a brewery that was going to do it on a very large scale.
We anticipate within 6 months... we would be sending a check of $300 to Don and Mark.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Is that what they said?
That's the last line.
Thanks, guys.
That's the last line.
Thank you.
Please. No, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, this is Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys? Big fans, big fans. You guys were talking about the profit margins on that beer sale?
Yes.
I work at a brewery where it is, they brew their own beer here in the Washington area, and it's much more than 6 cents.
Yeah, of course.
They make six different kinds of beers, and they'll sell a pint for, you know, $4, and it actually I've seen the sheet, it actually takes about 10 cents to make a pint of beer.
Right, now that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That makes 100% sense.
I'm telling you, I've seen the numbers. I know it's legit. These guys are screwing you.
Right. Well, look, and besides, it's not about the money. It's the same reason we don't sell T-shirts or coffee mugs or hats. It's like, who wants to be involved with some low-rent beer at a bar in Spokane?
Yeah, I mean, if it was... Now, let me tell you something. If the Miller Lite Company called us.
Well, now that's a different story, Mike.
Totally different story.
That's a national beer. That's real beer.
Absolutely.
You know, if the good people that you mentioned them at Budweiser called.
Or even Wiedemann's.
Well, you'd stand alone on that.
Just have a soft spot in my heart for my college days.
All I know is that the big beers are good.
Iron City.
For instance, Buzz is sponsored tonight, as a matter of fact.
Budweiser.
By a major brewery.
Right. Yes, fantastic.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
God damn, that's crap.
That angers me. That
right.
They even were, like, trying to dupe us like that.
In an effort to make the Don and Mike Show even bigger, 790K fan would like to begin brewing Don and Mike beer.
Yeah, in an effort to make it even bigger, they should just wipe all that out and just write exploit.
Right. In an effort to stick
really good beer.
In an effort to stick a broomstick right up your rear end. Well, who cares if it's good beer?
If it's good, it would even be different if we were talking about a real brewery there. A brewery where we would actually get cases of beer and we'd be able to see them and there'd be bottles and stuff. It'd be a different story if it was on a slightly larger scale.
Would you like some samples of their beer sent to you?
No, it's cheese.
It's a restaurant. That's what it is. It's promoting a restaurant.
Basically. We just don't do that.
Do you drink beer? I know you like your martinis.
Yes, and what, do you work for this place? Is that why you're concerned about this?
No, I love their beer. They make 6-7 different types, and they do sell it in the stores here around Spokane.
They sell bottles of it?
Yes, plastic liter bottles. And actually, they're reasonable.
Plastic liter bottles.
You put beer in plastic. Well, say no more.
No. The great taste of beer...
It comes in a bottle.
It comes in a bottle.
Chris Schenkel.
You over the years.
Listen, don't use profanity.
Sorry.
Do not say bull ass. Just say BS. What did you want to say?
Beer in a bottle doesn't necessarily make it better.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We're right about this, just like we're right about Tootsie and some like
beer
it.
Beer in a bottle, great, followed closely by beer in a can.
And after that, beer in your hand. And that's it. I mean,
poured out of a keg into your hand.
Out of a keg or into your hand.
Right. Or into a nice glass.
Yes.
Right.
Or right into your mouth. Just laying on the ground with a kegger.
That's right.
That's how you drink beer.
How about some Buzz beer?
Buzz beer?
Listen, if Buzz wants to make one of these cheesy deals, Buzz is more than welcome.
I think that brand name's taken already.
But Buzz, just think about it.
Yes.
You'd be able to clear that entire 3 cents all to yourself.
Yeah.
See, Mike and I, when we do a deal, we got to split it right down the middle.
Absolutely.
But you, Buzz, think about that.
In 3 months, I could keep $300 to myself.
Yes, you could.
That's right. 6 months, that would be $150 for you and me.
I love Don and Mike's show. It's not the money. It's small time.
Jesus Christ.
Don and Mike.
It's crap. Hello.
Yeah, you guys are doing great.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, I'm calling from the bathroom of Burger King in Lanham.
Oh, and boy.
I just wanted to tell you, another reason not to do that gig with the draft beer only is that half of the draft beer is just given away by the bartender anyways. You guys, you know, the bartenders always hook everybody up with the draft beer, and you never get paid for it.
Are you going number two?
No.
What are you doing? Are you sitting?
No, I am not.
What are you doing? Are you standing? Are you taking a leak?
Was that flushing or leaking?
If that's leaking, this guy's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Secretariat.
I just wanted to let you know you weren't going to make any money. You'd make
thank you
maybe
for the,
0.03.
Thank you for that bulletin. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that bulletin while you take a leak in Burger King.
Well, you know, he only came up with that after he cleared his head.
And wash your hands.
Right. No,
that
not
guarantee.
A chance. Not a chance, Buzz. Are you going to say you guarantee it wouldn't happen?
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm going to go with C. Isaac Newton. He's going with C. Isaac Newton.
Oh, is this the guy from Regis last night? What are you doing? What are you doing there?
He's playing with his tape recorder.
Hello?
Presenting frame in his class. 1,000 pounds of available paper. What are you doing there?
Oh, no,
now he's listening to the radio.
I'm too loud. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I was calling to see if Don and Mike would like Lagunitas beer by chance.
If we would like what?
If Don and Mike, this is Mike here, correct? Or Don?
Yes, it's both of us.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. I was wondering if you guys like Lagunitas beer by chance. It's brewed out here in California.
No, absolutely not. We're going to ask what the beer is, and he's going to say something. It's a setup.
No, listen. No. Hello, Don and Mike show, please.
Beer by chance. It's brewed out.
Turn down your radio. For the love of Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, please. Hello, last call, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, so I'd like to say that my butt crack stinks.
Pardon me?
I'd like to say that my butt crack stinks.
Your butt crack stinks. Thank you.
Okay, can I tell Don and Mike that?
No, I'm sorry, you can't.
Well, why is that? Can I tell them that their butt crack stinks?
No, I'm sorry, you'll never get on the radio.
Why is that?
You're just far too challenged to get on the show.
Come on.
No,
come on, really.
No, seriously.
If you got on the air with them, they would tell you you're retarded, and they'd call you an a-hole.
So?
Yeah, well, they would, and then you'd get mad.
Yeah.
And it would just go nowhere.
So it's our job. It's our job to prevent calls like yours from getting on the air.
Why is that?
Because you're a bad caller.
I'm not a bad caller.
Listen, if Don and Mike were here right now, they would tell you to go to hell.
But my back crack speaks.
Right.
Well, tell everybody else. Go out onto a street corner and share that information with people.
Okay.
You're far too stupid to speak on the radio to Don and Mike.
Why do you do that to me?
Just go away.
Why?
Go away.
Why do you do that?
See, the only part of this that's funny is that I really don't think the guy knows he's on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know he was on the radio.
Because if he knew, he wouldn't have hung up.
Right. Okay. Enough with the beer. Buzz?
Yes.
Oh, listen, I want to do one thing before we get the news and comment.
Oh, yeah?
We had promised everybody that we would replay today's edition of As the World Ahearns.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And we have that for you now. We're going to actually recreate the drama. We're not going to play you a tape.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of the players together. And to give you a quick setup on this, yesterday in the Washington Post, the radio critic, Frank Ahearns, wrote an entire column, a big two-page deal, about how he thinks there should be live radio drama like mm-hmm. they did back in the olden days.
Right.
And the perfect spot for radio drama would be an afternoon drive radio show. And then he mentioned our show by name.
Because he hates us, and he's out of touch, and he thinks we should have 1920s radio on in the year 2000. And he's just a ween, and we decided to give him a radio drama that he would never forget.
This is based on the real life of Washington Post radio critic Frank Ahearns, and now, as he requested, here's today's installment of As the World Ahearns. Let's go right to our announcer.
Live, it's time for yet another episode of
as the world Ahearns. When we last left them, the Ahearns family was sitting down to a nutritious meal of grilled cheese and grape juice when our hero Frank received a mysterious call from the editor at his newspaper. Frank hangs up the phone, turns to his parents, and says...
If that crusty old editor lets my secret out, my career as a pseudo-journalist will be over before it even gets started.
Francis, you have Velveeta all over your chin, dear.
Sorry, brother.
Francis, which of your many dark secrets did he find out about boy? Did he find out about your fascination with human excrement? And that scatlover.com website you're always on?
No, Father. That's no secret. My intense love of BMs is common knowledge in many communities.
Francis, dear, you seem to be sitting in a puddle of grape juice.
Sorry, Mother.
Well, damn it all, what secret did he find out about, boy? Tell me, you worthless pansy.
Please don't yell at me, Father, sir. Don't make me cry again. Tell me, boy, or I'll take away your needlepoint privileges. Okay, Father. Anything but that. Do you remember when I applied to that computer dating service?
Yes, Francis, do you remember?
Well, I got a reply, and my editor opened it, and now he knows the truth.
So tell us already.
He knows I've never been on a date with a girl, that is.
Well, Father, that's really no surprise, considering...
Considering what? Ma! Pa! Is there something I should know?
Yes, boy, there is. Now that you're in your 30s, you should be told.
Yes, Father, sir?
Frank?
Yes, Father, sir?
You are not like the other boys.
Tell me about it.
Mother, please. Frank, the truth is... You have no genitals whatsoever.
Oh, but Father, I look normal from the waist down, just like all the Ken dolls that I enjoy collecting.
Young Francis, those dolls are not anatomically correct.
You're right, Ma. She's right, son. You might have realized you were different by now, except for the fact that you've never been in a locker room because you neither enjoy nor understand sports of any kind.
That's true. I just love spending time alone in my creepy, dark basement room.
And you never encountered a public shower due to your extreme phobia and intense hatred of personal hygiene.
Right again. Well, I guess that explains having no sex drive towards females.
Not to mention the fact that you're the biggest pussy anyone's ever met. You have no balls in any sense of the word.
Yes, Father. I guess I'll resign myself to being a disgrace to the family name of Ahearns. If such a thing is possible.
Only if your secret gets out, boy.
Your father's right, Francis. Everyone that's ever met you may hate you, but that's not because you have no genitals whatsoever.
Right, Bob. They hate me because I'm a complete asswipe.
Right you are, my worthless eunuch offspring.
And I don't think that crusty, hard-boiled editor is going to let my secret out. The word at the newspaper is that he's going to be replaced anyway.
Why is that, dear?
Because it turns out he can't read.
Well, son, don't worry. We'll look into getting you an implant and it'll make you feel better.
You mean a prosthetic vagina?
Son, if it's not a penis, it's not a deal.
Oh, gee whiz.
Now, let's change the subject.
Oh, yes, let's do.
Say, boy, did you hear that fabulous Don and Mike radio show today?
Oh, no, sir. I only like radio from the 1920s, and I like little boys.
What was that, son?
I said it sounds like a lot of noise, brother. I mean, how many times can you hear them drooling over a naked girl and making fart jokes?
Well, boy, as for me, myself, and every other red-blooded American male, we love the Don and Mike show, and we never tire of it.
Well, I don't care what everyone thinks. I'm the radio critic, and I know what's best. NPR rocks my world.
Just then, someone at the door.
Well, who is that? We're not expecting anyone.
Actually, Mother, that would be my friend, Sergio.
Oh, Oh, is that the nice, muscular young man who's always dressed in those buttless leather chaps?
Yes, mother.
You know, there's something queer about that young man, but I can't seem to put my finger on it.
Believe me, father, he's right as rain. We're going out dancing tonight at an exciting but dimly lit club near DuPont Circle in the District of Columbia.
Well, that's nice, dear. Maybe you'll meet a nice girl.
Don't count on it, mother.
Join us next time when we hear Frank say...
Well, gee whiz, I haven't been in an emergency room since my incident with the bowling trophy and the Vaseline.
Only on As the World Ahearns.
There you go, another beautiful rendition. That would be the late show as opposed to the early show that
right.
we had.
Absolutely.
And again, that is for the radio critic at the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Because that's what he asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of radio drama. An afternoon drive.
There
it's a serial. And of all of the radio shows in afternoon drive, he said our show should be replaced by that.
So we decided we'll give him what he wants.
There you go. Another episode tomorrow, all new for you. Now, time for news.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's Buzz.
He made it up.
What you making up for us tonight, Buzz?
Tonight, the mob invades Wall Street.
Oh, beautiful mafia news. Love that. Yeah. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show.
That was very professional.
Right. The Don and Mike Show.
Congratulations, Matt Marks from Virginia. Won $500 on the show today. He had guts when he figured out Secret Sound number 3, came down to the studios, put his pubes on the line.
That's right, he was going to get him shaved if he got it wrong.
Got Secret Sound number 3. It is the sound of a phone jack being plugged into a wall.
I never would have gotten this.
We got a brand new one for you. You'll hear it tomorrow. Secret Sound number 4. Also tomorrow, lots of Father's Day stuff to give it away. A trip to Boston.
All right.
For a lucky dad, we'll have a DVD player to give away. And also tomorrow, we'll be doing Jeopardy.
Good.
Since Friday's episode will be all full of the Tom Gavin Survivor Show.
Fantastic.
Now, just ahead of Buzz, do you want to talk to a very, very dumb caller?
Absolutely. Oh, sure.
Okay.
Always a pleasure.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes. Hi, Don and Mike. This is Jeff. I'm driving on 50.
Yes,
I like
Jeff.
You guys, but I have a criticism.
As I said, a very dumb caller coming up.
Very good.
You guys are very clever.
Yes,
now, I just
thank
think
you.
That last thing about the heroin was very unimaginative and kind of stupid and vindictive. I mean, that's like Howard Stern level stuff. You guys are better than him.
Well, first, thank you for sullying our name with another disc jockey. Second,
I'm saying you guys are better than him. That's what I'm saying.
It is vindictive, and we are vindictive towards Frank Ahearns.
We have always maintained on this show that we are two of the most petty individuals in the business.
No, I have no
and
doubt about
third,
that, but...
I would beg to differ. It is slap nut funny.
And it's going to get slap nut funnier.
And if you don't like it, I advise you to change the station.
I got no problem with that, but it's just unimaginative. I mean, calling the guy gay is the best thing you guys can come up with. I mean, that's not even funny.
I don't believe I heard him called gay. What kind of... Where is your mind?
You said he wanted men, and you said he wanted to go out with a guy, and you said he wanted a vagina. You were implying that he...
No, not at all. That's your interpretation.
You can interpret it any way you
what
want.
What is the proper interpretation?
That's the wonderful thing about artwork, sir.
It's subjective.
You can interpret it any way you wish.
I'm sure many people who are listening to the show now consider you to be an annoying speed bump.
But some people, like maybe you, might think otherwise.
That's very true. But I just think you guys could have come up with something better if you're going to be all vindictive about it.
Right. Okay, well, you tell me something. You're the creative genius. The guy writes in the newspaper that he would rather hear old-time radio drama in the time slot of your radio show. What do you do, genius?
You could do something like that, but you could do something a little more creative.
Well, you know something? If you're saying it could be more creative, then give us a suggestion right now.
I don't know. Have him.
Wait, no, hold on. I think you've crystallized it.
I don't know.
You don't know.
No, I was about to tell you something.
Sure.
Have him portray to some failed DJ and take him through his failed career as an idiot DJ. That'd be more fun.
Pardon me?
He wants a vagina.
Pardon me? Have him what?
If you want to go funny, you want to do something funny in the back of his back, further down his life, you could say that he was a failed DJ or something and have him, you know, being idiots, putting up with guys like Ken Steven, but taking their crap and having a failed radio career.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that's funny.
That would be.
Let me see, which is funnier? Thinking that he has a vagina or thinking that he has a career where he has to argue with general managers.
And if I can make a case here, I believe if you were looking for an interpretation, you would notice that we make Mr. Ahearns completely asexual.
He has no genitals.
Without genitals. So we are not making him gay.
You're going out with a guy and wanting to pick up guys. That's not asexual.
No. That is how you interpret it.
So asexual people like to go to clubs and have sex with guys?
And you know something, sir? I would urge you to be a little less sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this whole thing strikes a little close to home to you. There's the nervous laugh.
Oh, so you think I'm gay? And
no,
I'm,
we never
like,
said
no,
that.
No, again, you know, why is it I say to you the sky is blue, yet you come back and say that must mean that someone is gay?
Look, it is my interpretation. I have a right to say it. I have a right to call it, and you guys could disagree with me. I'm sure there'll be 50 guys from the lucky 4% that'll call after me and say how stupid I am and how it was.
Now, that might be the
ever.
First thing.
But
that
that's
might,
just my opinion.
That might
Thank
be the first
much.
Thing
have
you've
got
right.
Day.
There he goes.
Right. Bye-bye.
See ya. That's good. Well, I wish it could have lasted longer, but I think we made our point.
Right.
And what a nice idea he has about making him a failed DJ.
Right. Yeah, listen, I want to tell you something. I don't often say this about my ideas on the show,
mm-hmm.
so I keep it low key.
Right.
This is freaking brilliant. It is taking exactly what he asked for mm-hmm. and giving it to him.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Brilliant writing, brilliant execution. It's fantastic.
Yes.
God damn, it's funny.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it.
And it wouldn't be funny if we made him a failed DJ.
Right.
Thank you.
Please, you dumb ass wife. You dumb ass wife! Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
People from all five of New York.
I should have known. It said on the screen,
right.
Dumb caller.
Yeah, they were right.
A dumb caller? Let's go with a dumb caller.
Absolutely.
Hey, and it's always that little pause. Hi.
Yeah. Well, if you know so much, listen, they're always looking for great talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's see you get your own radio show. Let's see how you react.
I think the Capital Steps are hiring.
Let's see what you do.
Very good.
Okay? But we're going to work him into tomorrow's episode.
Very good.
We're going to work that guy that just called into tomorrow's episode.
Excellent. The guy driving on Route 50.
Yeah, because you think we're vindictive about Frank Ahearns. Wait till you hear what we do with the guy who calls in from his car phone on Route 50 and thinks that everything in the world seems to point to the fact that someone's gay.
Not at all. I believe asexual.
Right. Mm-hmm. Hi, Buzz.
I believe that the man in question, Sergio, may very well have been trying to pick him up.
But we don't know.
How could you pick up a man who has no genitals?
Exactly. Right. You know, maybe Sergio didn't know yet.
Maybe he'll find out on tomorrow's episode.
Fascinating.
Buzz Burbank is brought to us by Butter Bud Light. Win great prizes instantly. Visit Budweiser.com for details.
People from all five of New York's organized crime families were among those charged today with running a massive stock fraud scam.
Why are we so misunderstood?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Why are we so misunderstood?
I'll tell you right now, you know, when you came up with this the other day, I mean, I had told Don when I was talking to you about that, I said, I was sitting there and I read the thing. I threw the paper down and I was just mad. Mm-hmm. It just got me mad.
Right.
And normally we just get mad. But you decided to take it and give him exactly what he wants, and I really do. And I know you said it, but I will tell you right now, that is one of the best ideas you ever came up with.
It's a good idea, man.
Right. It was a good idea.
It's a good idea. It is. You know. And listen, F you, whoever you are. You guy on Route 50.
I know.
F you. Just F you.
I know.
You know, what have you ever done? you goddamn should have been abortion. What have you ever done?
He'll be featured tomorrow.
Hey, it's just my opinion, and it's my right to call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You probably are gay. You probably are. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that.
But you probably like a nice, big, hard one. Right in your dookie. And I'm talking to you, the guy on Route 50. I drive in a dookie mobile. Please. So misunderstood.
Yes.
You know, worry more about your own failed life. Don't
sure.
worry about a radio show you're listening
Absolutely.
To. Christ. Imagine if people could just go off on that guy
mm-hmm.
every time he did something in his
yes.
low-level job that someone thought was inadequate.
Repairing the Dookie Mobile.
Yeah, imagine that.
Big
God
Dookie.
Damn it.
Big Dookie Mobile.
Why it said on the screen, dumb call.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Said, Rob, look, that says dumb call. Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't take that call.
Beware of dumb calls.
Took it anyway.
When they're identified as dumb.
Right.
Beware.
That's gold on this show.
That's right.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, members of all five of New York's organized crime families were among those charged today with running a massive stock fraud scam.
That's a bunch of crap.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, bro?
Tony Soprano.
Hey, no, it's just crap. What they're trying to do
what?
Is try to pin us down, and, you know, if they can't get one thing on us, they gotta get another thing on it. It's just a bunch of crap. Stock market. What do you know of the stock market? I don't know anything about the stock market.
Well, no, you do have your nephew, Christopher.
Christopher had a legitimate job.
That's not a legitimate front.
He had a totally legitimate job. He was great. I want to keep him out of the movie business and get him back into the stock market where he belongs. He's a legitimate broker.
Well, after 5 years of investigating, the feds are charging 120 people with what officials call the biggest securities fraud crackdown in history.
Yeah, good luck making it stick.
They say the bad guys got away with at least $50 million.
That's a bunch of crap. We earned that money.
And there are attempted murder charges along with the racketeering and extortion charges.
Who are they going to charge? Let's see, you Jughead?
None.
Not Big Pussy, that's for sure.
Well, they won't be charging him. Well, they're tough to charge him. They're going to get a scuba outfit.
Non-mafia folks were busted as well, including brokers, company executives, and even a New York City police officer.
Well, that's who they should charge. Go ahead.
Okay. The FBI found out about the stolen secrets of Los Alamos 18 days after those secrets disappeared. Officials at the government's nuclear laboratory in New Mexico waited 7 days before they started their own investigation and 17 days before telling the Energy Department. The FBI was notified the day after that. That's why a half dozen people at Los Alamos have been suspended from their jobs as the search continues for those computer hard drives that tell how to dismantle American and Russian atomic bombs. The Energy Department sticking to its story that the hard drives were probably just misplaced during the recent fire evacuation. Other officials say there is evidence of theft. Energy Secretary Bill Richardson was a no-show at the hearings in Washington today, but Republican Senator Wayne Allard is among the lawmakers outraged by all this.
You're damn right.
Yeah, see? He's outraged.
There he is.
I'm liable to lose you.
Well, I don't know why. We should have a good connection.
Fire me.
No, I don't want to fire you. I just want you to speak. Senator Wayne Allard.
I'm scared stiff.
Scared what?
Scared what?
Sounds like he said he was scared S-less.
Thank you so much.
Well, no, thank you.
Hey, no. Buzz, I'm serious. Here it is. Now, give me the setup again.
Senator.
Yeah, I'm taking the wacky tape out of the machine.
Oh, it's all right. All right.
Very good. You take the Jack Kent Cook out of the machine.
Gotcha. Republican Senator Wayne Allard is among those outraged.
You know, I've always had trouble hearing you.
Sounds the same to me, Don.
A hand is quicker than the eye.
Can't hear a word you say.
Does not sound like the senator.
Still
the
I'm
not here.
No, this is him.
Next question.
All right, here he is.
I seriously wonder if we don't have better security at our Walmart stores than you do at Los Alamos Labs.
What is it?
You heard him.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
It was a dual press conference.
What was the question?
Oh, forget it, John. And a retired Army colonel was taken into custody today, accused of selling American secrets to the old Soviet Union for 25 years. He was picked up after meeting with an FBI agent who was posing as a Russian spy. The ex-colonel, now 73, lives in Melbourne.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
Colonel, huh?
Yeah. Wow, didn't know that. Mm. This ex-colonel, now 73, lives in Melbourne, Florida, on a street called Patriot Drive.
Buzzy, hold on a second, please. We'll be right back.
Slap Nut Bunny, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzzy, give me 1 second. You know, now's the time when the show's just going on the air in New York.
Right.
So every night at this time, we get like a million calls from New York.
That's right.
Let's just say one call from New York, a guy from Brooklyn who just wants to say hello. Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, Johnny.
Yeah, John.
Hello. Johnny, buddy.
John, I haven't heard Johnny since I was 7.
Right, Johnny.
Guys, it's been crazy trying to get in touch with you. I always work hard, so I can't get through to you on the phones at work either. Just great to hear from you. And I'm getting ready to settle down and listen to the show.
Great. John, thank you, my friend.
God bless you, John.
Very nice. I just want to make sure that we acknowledge the good people of New York, because every night at this time, mm-hmm. you see, the people in New York will be hearing this at about 11 o'clock,
right.
when really what they're hearing
right.
happened at 7 o'clock.
And so that guy, if he wants to stay up for the whole show,
he'll hear himself at the end.
He will have the pleasure
of hearing himself.
Because every night it's at 7 o'clock when the show starts. When it starts in New York, our phones go crazy because all the people from New York call.
And there's still some people that I'm not processing the fact that it's taped.
Right, and, you know, we're not going to go out of our way to beat them over the head with that information.
Ooh,
it's actually
right.
a very nice compliment that the show's running on tape delay in New York. A lot of people don't know it's tape delay.
Getting lots of calls from New York, and we're very happy about that.
So we do thank you. Buzz is brought to us tonight by Bud and Bud Light. Win great prizes instantly. Visit Budweiser.com for details. Buzz.
Well, speaking of New York, I guess you've seen the videotape. New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani's threatening to punish the cops who did nothing while over a dozen women were attacked in Central Park South on Sunday. She doesn't, actually.
That is maybe the most disturbing tape that I've seen in an awful long time. A guys running after girls with squirt bottles.
Ripping their clothes off.
Yeah,
right.
And then like packs of guys, like 15 and 20 guys gathering around one, two women at a time. And the women were screaming at the cops, saying, come help us.
One of the ladies, the rollerblader that got attacked, and she went to a cop who was close by. He blew her off, basically said, you know, forget about it. And then she went to another couple of cops who said, you'll have to file a report. And nobody, as she said it when she was interviewed last night, nobody responded to it like it was a crime in progress, which was amazing.
Look at the videotape.
Yeah, I mean, look what was going on.
Now, that's what's being investigated now, what the cops did and didn't do. After the Puerto Rican Day parade, a pack of over 20 men did tear through the park, attacking 24 women and one man. They doused the women with water and tore off their clothes. As you said, at least one victim was robbed, several in fact, and the man was assaulted as he tried to defend his female companion. Only two suspects apprehended so far, but thanks to that videotape, there will probably be more arrests.
Only two so far?
Only two so far.
That's amazing.
But there are a lot of faces on that tape, so more will be picked up. Many of the attacks took place just a few blocks north of the building from which we broadcast when we're in New York.
Where was J.P. Flame on Sunday?
Don't know.
He's Puerto Rican.
Yes, he is.
And so is Charlie Stossel.
So is Charlie Stossel.
Where was he on Sunday?
We'll have to check and see if they were celebrating.
Actor Patrick Swayze walked away from the emergency landing he made in Arizona 2 weeks ago, and he kept walking. Police say he managed to avoid questioning for 12 hours after the accident, and they think it's because he'd been drinking. And now
he doesn't drink.
Now they suspect
him. You remember when he came by?
Oh, when we had him on our morning show.
Oh, man.
He'd been out all night on a binge.
Yeah, most hungover
guest. On a bender.
Yeah, absolutely the most hungover guest we've ever had on the show.
And just laid with his head on a desk for 30 minutes. But I'll say to his credit, when it was time to do the show,
he was funny.
Came in and he was good. And
absolutely.
He made no bones about the fact that he was still, even at that time, maybe still a little drunk left over from the night before.
That's right.
Oh, man. Well, now the police suspect three men of helping Swayze get the beer and wine out of the plane after the crash.
Come on, man. Let's go up and have a beer party on a plane.
It's one thing to drive drunk, which is awful, but flying drunk.
Flying drunk as the pilot.
These guys also supposedly drove him to a motel. Those three men have now been charged with failing to report the incident and then lying about it. Quoting Swayze's publicist, it's unfortunate there were people who felt the need to say what they said, end quote.
Oh, God.
Really?
No one got hurt in the incident.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
But the plane did lose a wing when it hit a utility pole.
Oh, man. This is the best flight I've ever had.
And now three stories about major screw-ups. First,
I loved you in Dirty Dancing, man.
Pull up on the stick.
You're the best.
Whoa.
When you were in that movie where you were the parachuters, the bank robbers. Oh, that was we're going to hit a tree.
I need a refill.
Pull up.
Major screw-ups, part one. A jetliner crashed through a window wall at Newark International Airport yesterday.
Whoops.
It was, to say the least, a freak accident.
Was Patrick Swayze the pilot?
I don't think so. He was otherwise detained. It happened at night while the plane was being serviced. There were no passengers or crew on board, just a cleanup crew.
The plane was being serviced.
And down below... Down below, mechanics were doing a routine engine inspection.
The plane was being effed.
Suddenly, one of the engines fired up and the plane lurched forward into the terminal. Eight people were taken to hospitals. They were all released. They were all okay.
Oh, no. Jesus.
Oh,
Charlie. We broke the window.
You're going to have to be more careful.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Joe. The engine started. Whoa.
A spokeswoman for Continental says the aircraft was lodged in the building. The government is investigating.
No need to use the gate.
Major screw-up number two. 31-year-old John Sherman was on the operating table in Chicago, already cut open, waiting for that new kidney. The ice chest arrived from the organ bank. The doctors opened it, and inside they found a heart. The kidney John had waited on for 13 years was in Springfield, Illinois, which was where the heart should have gone.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Here's your kidney.
You get around, don't you, Charlie? Officials say it was a labeling mix-up.
Uh-huh.
In Springfield, the...
Heart, H-A-R-T, kidney, K-I-D-K-N-E-E, kidney.
In Springfield, the kidney was no longer viable, so John went back on the waiting list, which is where he was when he passed away over the weekend.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Hey, speaking of a list, Charlie, you did a great job on that 100 funniest films of all time list.
Some like it hot.
Good effort,
Charlie. Tootsie.
I knew you had to be involved in that list.
Victor Victoria. Uh-huh. Mrs. Dunbar is killing me.
Well, the organ bank worker was not fired, quoting a spokesman for the bank. It was a very unfortunate human error.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're dead.
And major screw-up number three. They were supposed to be taken to the hospital, but New York City police say two women with cerebral palsy spent nearly 8 hours riding around in the back of an ambulance while the driver smoked crack.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
No way! I don't smoke no crack!
They say the women were also robbed of $80, a cell phone, and some jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Cops found the ambulance in Brooklyn after getting a call from worried relatives.
Joe did it.
The driver faces charges of unlawful imprisonment and reckless endangerment.
That's right, I'm ratting him out.
Time out, wow. Buzz. We will be right back.
It's time for more Host Chats with Don and
back to news with Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Oh, the British man who left that $10,000 tip for a Chicago waitress last week says he doesn't remember doing that. David Martin Nicholas of London says he believes someone clearly took advantage of his drunken state. Now, the owner of the restaurant says they've seemed to be thinking clearly when they photocopied his passport and had him sign a statement agreeing to the tip.
But when did he say this? Because we got the guy's phone number and tried to call him yesterday, and there was no answer.
I don't know. I apparently said it to the Associated Press. Apparently, they got a hold of him at some time. The bar says because it's gotten so much publicity out of the story, it'll cover the tip. Perhaps you'd heard that. And the waitress says she will use that money to further her education.
She might want to find a nice cosmetic surgeon.
I wish I'd seen her.
Or at least a dermatologist.
Since she's very Chicago.
Yes. Big burden hips, that awful permed Carol Kane frizz hair, and gigantic pockmarks.
A few pits.
Yeah, big Tommy Lee Jones skin.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the definitive one there.
But
Tommy Lee Jones.
Late at night.
Mm-hmm.
Doable.
She must have looked good to this British guy.
In Chicago.
The toddling town.
One of the New York firefighters featured in last week's episode of HBO's Sex and the City is taking a little heat for his part in the show. Michael Lombardi works for a rescue unit on Staten Island, and he's Mr. December in last year's Firehouse Hunks calendar. But his bosses say he went too far this time by exposing his bare bottom and simulating intercourse with Sex and the City co-star Kim Cattrall.
Here's what Mr. Lombardi had to say.
I think we can accomplish most anything if we're willing to pay the price. And the price of success is hard work.
He's right.
Hard work, dedication to the job at hand, and a determination that whether we win or lose, that we've applied the best of ourselves to the task at hand.
That's right. Vince Lombardi.
You can't argue with
naked.
Imagine that.
Showing his buttocks with Kim Cattrall.
How do you like that, sweetheart? Ooh.
The bosses say Michael may have violated the regulation that firefighters not bring disrespect or discredit to the department. He did ask for and get permission to pursue acting jobs, though, and although he's gotten a good scolding, he hasn't been disciplined yet.
All right, well, I like that scene with Kim Cattrall with the suspenders on.
A good show.
If you're a punster, you could have said he got a good scalding.
Yeah, kind of a heat reference.
Yeah, right.
No, he is in the hot water. Mm-hmm. And the heterosexual Boy Scouts of America are on the defensive in Connecticut.
Is that their new name?
Yes, the heterosexual, the very heterosexual Boy Scouts of America.
Charlie Stossel is not affiliated with them in any way.
No, they kicked him out.
On the defense. The best defense, of course, is a good offense. The Scouts are suing the state of Connecticut, saying it violated its own constitution by taking the Scouts off the list of payroll deductions for state workers. The state says it cannot list a payroll deduction for a group that violates the state's discrimination laws, specifically by keeping out homosexuals.
But I'm very excited about announcing the new Charles Stossel Arts and Crafts Camp for Boys. It should be a big, big summer. It's not going to be outside, though.
No?
It'll be in Charlie's place. Charlie's house.
And then...
Charlie's tub.
And then there's the assistant scoutmaster in Derry, Pennsylvania, the one who's facing child endangerment charges for the overnight camping trip he took with three boys, ages 11, 12, and 13. Prosecutors say John Lewandowski hung the boys from trees with their hands tied while he carved the letter T into their chests with a knife.
Jesus.
Police, oh, my God.
Police say John told the boys the T stands for trust and training. They say there was no sexual assault. But they say they did find S&M pornography in the man's home.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
Oh. Scouting officials say they're cooperating with investigators but won't talk about any screening process they do or don't have for scoutmasters.
Jesus.
God damn. One more, bud.
Okay.
I mean, what can you say to that?
You really can't say anything to that.
Has it been a year already since the last Southern Baptist Convention? This year's has just wrapped up in Orlando, Florida, with more condemnations of women clergy, gays, and other religions. And you should have heard the sermon from evangelist Bailey Smith. He called abortion human sacrifice. He called the defenders of gay marriage nutballs. He said President Clinton has the morals of an alley cat. And to his own critics, Smith said, get used to it. He also said, and I quote, Louis Farrakhan needs Jesus. Muhammad Ali needs Jesus. And every rabbi in every synagogue needs Jesus.
Man, makes a lot of sense.
You think?
Oh, God.
Thank you, Buzz. That's very informative.
Yes. Time now for a call. 100 and a DVD player and a DVD copy of a really great movie, Being John Malkovich.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Be the 100th caller right now. For the love of God, be assertive, please. Be the 100th caller. 877-365-3636.
The cure for your anal spasm. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzzy. In sports, the best of seven NBA finals continue tonight on the Pacers' home court. Indiana trails the Lakers 2-1. Game 6 and 7, if necessary, would be in L.A. John Walker didn't spend a lot of time in purgatory. Just 6 days after being demoted by the Atlanta Braves to their AAA club in Richmond, Virginia, he's been promoted back to the majors.
And you know who's happiest about that?
Who?
Rob
Stewart! Well, right. My man!
His number one fan.
My man!
Promoted not because of anything he said or did. One of Atlanta's relief pitchers got hurt, so the team had a job to fill.
Yeah, Rob, I want you to know we know how he got hurt, okay?
Right.
Absolutely.
Unfortunate accidents happen.
They happen. Rocker got demoted partly for threatening a reporter and partly for failing to learn humility, but mostly for allowing 25 walks in 18 innings.
Classic Rocker. Modern Rocker.
Did the demotion make him less cocky? His teammates in Richmond say he did keep his mouth shut and worked as a team player the short time he was there.
Cocky Rocker.
Now Rocker prepares to return at the end of the month to New York, the city he slammed in Sports Illustrated.
Off his rocker.
Along with gays, minorities, immigrants, and kids with purple hair. An Indiana University professor who's been one of Bob Knight's most outspoken critics says he's taking a leave of absence from the school. Murray Sperber says harassment and threats have forced him to take this unpaid leave. He tells Sportsline.com, quote, I don't want to be here in the fall. It's going to cost me financially, but I'm so exhausted, I want to get out of town, end quote.
You ain't going to die, teacher.
Teacher. Accidents happen.
Teacher.
And finally, an Episcopal church in North Carolina has excommunicated one of its members for being anti-gay. The Episcopal church in this country excommunicates so rarely it doesn't even keep statistics on that. But Lewis Green of Asheville, North Carolina, got a letter from the church banning him from the property and denying him the sacrament of communion. The church says he can come back if he studies a Bible passage about how to treat fellow Christians and if he apologizes in writing for making that obscene gesture to the congregation at Christmas.
Oh, at Christmas.
Hey. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. That's it. Got to go.
Yeah.
Back tomorrow with the all-new episode. Of course, another exciting edition of As the Ahern Turns.
Hey. It's a classic.
And tomorrow we'll be giving away for Father's Day a free trip to Boston.
Very exciting.
Plus a bunch of DVD players for Father's Day.
Cool.
And it's Leah's birthday, so we got to call her tomorrow.
Right. Excellent.
And we're going to get our last-minute qualifiers for Friday's Survivor Show.
Good.
And we'll be talking, of course, about the real-life Survivor Show. Mike, it's on tonight at 8 o'clock.
Don, I'm going to be in my car in just a few seconds.
Don't forget it. And a brand-new low-budget Jeff Hardy. All of that coming your way on tomorrow's episode.
All right.
What? Your first shot at the big money was Secret Sound number 4.
I am caller number 100.
Yeah. Oh, you saved me that time. I've even answered the phone. Yes. Who is this?
This is Jay Clyde from Laurel.
Jay, my friend, you're listening on good old WJFK FM, and you have won, oh, a top-notch prize. You won a DVD player and a DVD copy of Being John Malkovich, courtesy of Express.com.
That's cool.
DVDExpress.com is now Express.com, the best place on the web to find cool video games, hot music, and the biggest selection of DVDs on the Internet. Thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you. You guys rock.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Right.
And we will see you all tomorrow. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you, and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie. Robbie, not here.
Sorry.
Ah, throw your Santa Claus hat in the air, please, just like Sydney.
Come on.
Tyler. Moore.
Let's do it.
A little right. Off and to the right.
Nia, we will see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind.